93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is May 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a violent hit-and-run crash in southwest Philadelphia left one person dead and another critically injured, and police are searching for one of the drivers. Police say it happened about 2 a.m. This morning. A minivan traveling east on Passyunk Ave collided with a Ford Mustang going west, and the driver of the minivan tried to make a left onto 63rd Street. The minivan received front-end damage. The Mustang was left unrecognizable. There were two passengers in the Mustang. Both had to be cut out of the wreckage because the car was so mangled. Police say the 29-year-old driver who was visiting the area from Georgia was pronounced dead at the scene. The 26-year-old passenger was taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center in critical condition. However, he is expected to survive. The driver of the minivan was the sole occupant of that vehicle. He fled on foot, running north on 63rd Street, according to witnesses. Police did run the plates of the minivan and were checking the address on file for the vehicle. They have also collected fingerprints and other evidence from the scene. Investigators interviewed a witness, and they are hoping to talk to the passenger of that Mustang once he's able to speak. Police say excessive speed may have played a role in the crash, but they won't know, and they won't be able to determine who was at fault until the accident investigators are finishing processing the scene. An argument between two drivers sitting at a drive-thru of a Northern Liberties McDonald's restaurant led to gunfire, police say. It happened at 1:30 last night at the McDonald's on the unit block of West Girard Ave. During the argument, police say one of the men got out of his car, pulled out a gun, firing several times at the 27-year-old victim. Police say at least one bullet entered the victim's side door and grazed the chest of the victim.
They were saying, Kathy, that's a 24-hour McDonald's. Have you ever heard of that before?
There's a few.
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah,
not all of them, but I've encountered some.
Okay. Yeah.
The victim drove off and was able to flag down a police officer at Front and Richmond Streets for help. Police say the man refused to go to the hospital. The shooter fled the scene, and police are hoping that the restaurant security camera captured the suspect and his vehicle, and they can find out more as to exactly what happened here. It was a really violent night. So another one. Police are investigating a shooting in southwest Philadelphia that left a father and his pregnant daughter wounded. Police were called shortly before 10:30 p.m. Sunday after the gunfire erupted in the 5800 block of Hadfield Street. At least 18 shots were fired from two separate semi-automatic weapons. A 23-year-old woman who was said to be 5 months pregnant with twins, who had just been married on Sunday, was shot in the leg and hip. Her 74-year-old father was shot twice in the back. The bullets also hit a nearby vehicle. When police arrived, both of the victims had already been rushed to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center in a private vehicle. Police are looking for two males and a female, they say. Philadelphia Police Inspector Scott Small says the motive of the shooting right now appears to be domestic in nature, based on witness accounts and other family members. This may have stemmed from a past relationship that the 23-year-old woman had. The suspect fled in a white van north on 58th Street. Police have located cameras on a nearby business, and they're hoping to find footage that will be helpful in the investigation. All right, in sports this morning. St. Louis rookie Jack Flaherty struck out 13 Phillies over 7 2/3 innings to pick up his first big league win and lead the Cardinals to a 5-1 win over the Phils. The team split the four-game series. Odubel Herrera's streak of reaching base safely was ended at 45 games.
Damn.
He took first on a dropped third strike in his final at-bat of the game, but did not extend the streak. However, Cesar Hernandez drew a ninth-inning walk to improve his on-base streak to 24 straight games. The Phils are back home tonight as they open up a series against the Atlanta Braves. Nick Pivetta gets the start, and game time is at 7:05. In the NBA playoffs, Steph Curry scored 35 points with 5 3-pointers as the Golden State Warriors beat the Rockets 126-85 last night and now have a 2-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Game 4 is tomorrow night in Oakland. In the NHL, the Vegas Golden Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
Ryan Reeves scored the winning goal. Marc-Andre Fleury made 31 saves, and Vegas beat the Winnipeg Jets 2-1 on Sunday to wrap up the Western Conference Final in 5 games. They lost game 1 in Winnipeg before winning 4 straight to become the first expansion team since the 1968 St. Louis Blues to get to the finals. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kath. Here we go. Another week. Welcome back from the weekend, friends. And it does. Oh, It does feel so much better. I had the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Take Steps walk yesterday at the ballpark.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah. You could be outside and be happy. It was, everybody was so excited just to be outdoors. I mean, of course, we had the MMBBQ on Saturday, and that was fine.
Yes.
But it was soggy.
It was.
But we had sunshine yesterday.
Makes a difference.
Breeze. It was, oh, man.
Out the window right here, right now, you can see the sun on the buildings, and there's light and life, and people are coming out and hugging each other.
It's fantastic.
It's glorious.
Speaking of lights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Lights in the studio. Sorry, we had our lights off. Welcome to a week of sunshine. We're just getting a little bit of rain tomorrow, but we should be good otherwise.
Did you guys get a sprinkling yesterday?
I did not.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we did. So we were leaving from the ballpark to go home, and we plugged in Waze. And normally I would take 76, but it said take 95 to the Blue to where we wanted to go. So we decided to go that way, and we're going across the bridge over by the Navy Yard, and we could see off in the distance this nasty, really nasty front coming through.
Yeah.
So I had my wife pull it up on radar, and there was this small cell. We ended up driving around it, Casey, but we saw what was left in its wake.
It's looked pretty wild.
It looked pretty, it was this isolated, really intense shower.
Think about that, though, what it's like now. You're driving along, you got an app for the weather, the you know, all this stuff's going on.
Yeah.
It's just, it's telecommunication awesome. Center right in your car.
Yeah. I mean, we got it, but it wasn't bad. I mean, there was just, you know, it was just rain. There was no wind or anything like that. It just came down. We were at baseball practice, but what was weird is, you know, we saw blue skies in the distance.
Yeah.
And then it went away.
Just a little passing thing, and that was it for the day. So, but it was just beautiful.
Well, today's going to be actually better because there's going to be no humidity.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So enjoy it while you can. We have a lot of things going on. We have a new Word of the Week prize. We have a 20-pack of tickets for Strike Force Laser Tag, and that's good for their facility in Westchester. Rock on. Lasers. All right. Yeah, it's brought to you by
have a wonderful time.
The Bates folks who bring you the Bates Escape Rooms and the Bates Motel and all that stuff. That's right. That's Lee Harper.
Yeah.
Harper Lee, I'm sorry, does laser tag.
Yes, laser tag.
These days.
I really used to enjoy laser tag. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we have a 20-pack for our Word of the Week prize this week, so get set to win that. We also have on the program a couple of guests. We're going to have our buddy Robert Irvine. He's stopping by in about an hour, so he's here early this morning.
He's always early.
We have Fernando Velasco from the Champions of Magic, which is going on the 20th through the 21st next month at the Miriam Theater, so he's stopping in. And then we have a gentleman named Junis Suatamo who's here, and Junis is the new Chewbacca.
New Chewbacca.
Or as Casey said on the phone call yesterday, Nubaca.
Yes.
He's the new Chewbacca from the movie Solo, and we have a screening of that tonight, by the way, so we'll have your chance to win some tickets to that.
Very good reviews.
Yeah, so we will get to that in a little while. And what's the story here, Case?
We're good
to go. I got a note that said that we had some issues with the coolest teacher, but we are now good to go.
Now good to go, yes.
All right. So we had Holy Cross vote through the weekend. They got the opportunity. When the school is chosen on Friday, they get a couple of extra days. So the gang, the student body, texted in, sure enough, and we have a winner of the coolest teacher of the year from Holy Cross. And our winner is...
Oh, boy.
Mr. Ed Heffernan.
Yay!
Heffernan, the Heffman.
Heffer.
He is the winner of the coolest teacher of the year, so that is that's a wonderful honor for him, and we have some great stuff that we are going to give him, courtesy of our friends at Rita's Water Ice and Gottschall's Turkey Bacon. We have, of course, the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug that Mr. Heffernan is going to get. We'll set him up with a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card.
Nice.
Turkey bacon from Gottschall's along with $50. And don't forget, they are the real wood smoked turkey bacon. So, Rita's Water Ice gift cards make a great teacher's gift. Make sure you get out and get them. And we congratulate Mr. Ed Heffernan from Holy Cross in Delran, New Jersey. And maybe he'll give us a call this morning. We'll see.
Yes.
Let Mr. Heffernan know that he did indeed win in case he's not listening. And we might hear a little bit about him later on, but he's an English teacher. That means we need to choose another school.
Ooh.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. We've cycled through completely.
All right. Let me get
very exciting
from the jerky jar.
Let's see if you can pull one from
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Not only is it in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah?
It's in Bucks County.
Whoa!
And our next coolest teacher of the year school competing is Truman High School in Levittown, Pennsylvania. So Levittown, PA, and students of Truman High School, we want to hear from you. You need to let us know who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. Now, there's a very specific formula that you have to follow. It's pretty simple. If you're going to instruct the school so they can maybe make some announcements or post on any of their social media, you have to do it this way. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333. And that's how you do it. One vote per phone number. All right, text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333. One vote per number.
I'm currently obsessed with the show Rise, which is based off of a teacher that taught at Truman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of did like a binge watch of that and watched the season finale.
Drama teacher, like an acting teacher? That's right. Yeah.
I've heard the Rise story. Is based off that? Does it take place at Truman?
I mean,
sort of
no,
a Truman-like
in the show,
school.
Yeah, all right. I mean, well, and not even really a Truman-like show, but supposedly the teacher in Rise is based off of the teacher that taught at Truman.
Oh. So you grew up in Levittown, right?
I did, yes. But this was like on the border of, so I didn't go to this high school.
But you would have gone to one or the other, right? Okay.
All right, nice. So we got you guys. Make sure you text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name 39333. That is Truman High School in Levittown, PA. Here we go. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll get to the entertainment report as well as a stupid question and give some stuff away. We got a lot on our plate, and we are happy to share it with you. It's family style.
Yeah.
Pass the plate around. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question and give away a $50 giant gift card if you can answer this correctly. A martini with a pickled onion is called a what? 215-263-WMMR. A martini with a pickled onion is called a what? 215-263-WMMR. Some birthdays today. Monday, May 21st include Mr. T.
Oh!
Yep. Mr. T's real name is Lawrence Turaud.
Turaud?
T-U-R-E-A-U-D. Turaud, I guess.
Lawrence,
is how you say that.
Someone from the phone for you.
I never knew that. I never knew Mr. T's name. So, but and that would be it. His last name starts with a T. Mr. T.
He was a club bouncer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And got spotted, I guess, by Stallone.
Well, casting. He was, you know what, Steve? I actually saw, I was a kid, and I remember this weird little special that was on TV. It was called, like, the Bouncer
Battle of the
Games.
Bouncers. Yes, I remember that.
And
was he on that?
And he was on it.
Okay.
And I remember seeing this guy with a mohawk and all these chains, and he won it. And they had to do different things, like he had to jump over the bar and run the distance. Then they have one of those, you know, punching bag machines. You see on the boardwalk that you punch, and it shows how hard you hit.
No kidding.
It. And he was on that show, and, like, a year or two later, boom, he shows up on the A-Team. And so he was spotted through that show. He had such a unique look about him.
He was a good nemesis for Stallone.
Yeah.
He's a guy you were supposed to hate. Like, you know, you weren't supposed to hate Apollo Creed. You were supposed to hate Mr. T. And he did a great job.
Yeah.
Do we have the song Mother by any chance?
Of course
it's classic.
We do.
Mother, there is no other like mother. So treat her right.
Treat her right.
A lot of people don't know that Mr. T trained at Juilliard.
I don't
know that. Steve, here it is. It was on NBC's America's Toughest Bouncer Competition.
There you go. We need that
back. A segment of NBC's Games People Play that they did. So that's where it came from. Wow. So he is 66 years old today. Then you have Judge Reinhold, who was in Beverly Hills Cop.
We were just talking about him.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, because we were talking about Vice Versa the other day. And he is 61 years old. Singer Leo Sayer.
Oh, my God.
When I need you, I just close my eyes and I'm with you.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Something along those
Some
lines.
Crappy thing like that.
And he also did, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. I want to dance the night away.
Dancing, dancing.
So he is 70 years old today.
When is he going to leave this earth?
Dude.
I'm just kidding. Easy. He pissed me off with those songs.
He also did the song More Than I Can Say.
That's actually a good song.
That was a...
All right, Leo, you can stay.
A ballad. Boy, what a helmet head he had. Look at that.
Oh, my God. So yesterday...
Look at the fro on this guy.
I'm watching Love Boat, and it's a very intense relationship forming between Marsha Brady and Epstein on this particular episode.
Marsha Brady and Epstein.
But Epstein, Robert Hedges.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He had a big...
Bigger than him.
He had a full-on helmet. Yeah. Leo Sayers, 70. Stan Lynch, former drummer of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Always liked his stuff.
Yes.
He's just straight ahead, but also very unique. He's 63 today. Nick Cassavetes, a director and screenwriter.
His dad, the legendary John Cassavetes.
And he gave us The Notebook.
Oh.
Yes, he did.
Which, I'm sorry, it's going to make you cry.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But also John Q and Alpha Dog and a few others. He's 59 today. And Fairuza Balk,
you love her.
Several good movies.
As do I. She's a dirty girl.
Yeah, she's a dirty girl.
Dirty girl.
Got a big dirty mouth.
Got a big dirty mouth.
She's I think tops on the list of ugly hot. Right?
She's ugly hot.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if you want to see her ugly hot at her, I think Waterboy.
I think she gets even scarier ugly hot in The Craft near the end where she's freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
But I think she's hot in The Waterboy, and she's sexy and Almost Famous.
Oh, American History X.
She's scary hot in American History X because, you know.
She's a raging racist.
Yeah, she's a Nazi.
And that'll put a damper on a relationship.
Skinhead racist.
Nazis aren't hot.
No.
No, they aren't. She's, I like everything, all those movies, everything that she's in. She's 44 years old today. And you know what? She played Dorothy in the sequel to The Wizard of Oz.
She did, yes.
As a kid, which was terrible.
It wasn't that good.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. Yes, there was.
Yeah. It was really bizarre.
And the source, the Blum, that's how it's pronounced, the author?
Baum. I don't know.
Baum. The source material is a lot darker and creepier.
Oh, he wrote a whole series of books, yeah. I mean, there's pre-Oz, there's post-Oz, and Wizard of Oz became the most famous of the movies.
The whole prison series he wrote.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with Wizard of Oz.
But it's actually, even freakier material than the movies we've come to know and love. All right, so she's 44 today. And then singer Gautier. Singer-musician is celebrating his 38th birthday.
Didn't he play Jaime the Robot on Get Smart?
Yeah, you know
that's
that.
Dick Gautier.
I don't know. I don't even know who that is.
Somebody I used to know?
Yep.
Yeah. That's the only guy.
That's the only song, that I know. I do like that song. It's cool sounding, but anyhow, he's 38 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. A martini with a pickled onion is called a what? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Kristen on the phones. Hi, Kristen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Kristen, so a martini with a pickled onion is called a what?
A Gibson.
A Gibson, yeah. Yep. Hang on a second.
A Gibson. I've never heard of that.
Love Gibsons. I drank them exclusively for a little while.
Is that right?
Yeah, I like that pickly taste as opposed to an olive, and they're super duper yummy.
We used to have the Tom Collins Book of Mixology? What's the Bible for bartenders?
Not sure.
Whatever that was, as a kid, I used to read that and remember. I could remember all the drinks, and as a non-drinker, that's pretty impressive.
We've got a $50 giant gift card for Kristen, and we all want to save money, save time, and eat well every day. And Giant helps make that possible, even easy. Why shop anywhere else? So we're going to start with the box office. Deadpool 2 debuted at $125 million domestically and $301 million globally after landing the biggest foreign debut ever for an R-rated title.
Wow.
The opener was impressive, but it didn't quite rival the first Deadpool, which premiered at $132.4 million in February of 2016. So it actually did better than this one.
Interesting.
But it nabbed the third best domestic opener of the year to date, and that's behind Avengers Infinity War and Black Panther. You think people like superhero movies?
I mean, come on.
Yep.
Is there any argument against the fact that this is what's keeping Hollywood alive these days?
So in second was Avengers Infinity War with $28.7 million, followed by Book Club, Life Life of the Party, Breaking In, Show Dogs, Overboard. Number 8 was A Quiet Place, followed by Rampage. And the top 10 is rounded out with I Feel Pretty.
Now, they didn't promote it a lot, but Book Club is a superhero film.
Oh, so, I didn't.
Yeah, that's an aspect of it they eased back on.
Had no idea.
Is Book Club a comedy? What is it?
It's a comedy.
It is?
It's okay. It's a sort of a soft, you know, senior comedy, but I it actually looks funny.
Yep. All right, so the Royal Wedding was over the weekend. I'm going to touch a little bit on this stuff, and we'll expand a little bit further on it later on. But, of course, it took place on Saturday, and they are officially husband and wife, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They became the Duke and Duchess of Sussex at London's Windsor Castle. The ceremony took place at the Gothic St. George's Chapel at noon. But it was no ordinary wedding, even by royal standards. There were a lot of things. There were a lot of celebrities in attendance.
Ton of stuff. We'll get to a lot of that later. But, yeah, did you watch any of it live?
I didn't see a second of it.
I actually turned it on, which I couldn't believe I did.
I watched every second of it?
In one of the most bizarre juxtapositions, and I kid you not, because I had the Xfinity app on the iPad. I was sitting on the bowl watching the royal wedding. But, yeah, it was... It was on. You had to at least check it out. Well,
I liked it. It was really cool. I liked watching it. I don't know why. Just like everybody else, I'm, you know, kind of interested in it. And
it's huge. And I very much like this couple. So I wanted to see how it played out.
Yeah.
I decided to turn it on because I was awake. And I'm
you
like,
wouldn't have woken up for it otherwise.
No. Well, I was getting up to do Nick's big climb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me turn it on. I turn it on right as she was doing her vows. And I'm like,
there you go. Great timing. Money shot.
Yep. Okay. And thumbs up, you guys think?
Yeah. Her dress sucked. Her dress was terrible.
Did you see the dress for the reception?
No.
This was for, you know, the public, but her reception dress was very pretty.
Okay. Yeah.
But what about the wedding dress?
It just, I think it was what she had to wear, you know, like they...
It was $1 million dress, was it not?
Well, it had been designed by the acclaimed British designer Claire Waite Keller. Ms. Waite Keller last year became the first female artistic director at the historic French fashion house Givenchy. So that's all I know about the dress.
It was a little plain compared to, you know, even Kate's dress. Apparently they have to wear lace, and she got away with like just a small tiny bit of lining on the veil.
Okay. I thought it looked fine. It was a more standard dress. It's not the usual. The one that I thought was kind of looked really weird was Princess Diana's, which is very flourishy, I should say, and puffy, and all that stuff.
I mean, this was a little matronly, I think, for her, but her, like I said, her reception dress was much prettier.
And she was wearing
the blue ring.
Yeah, that was the whole deal.
That was Princess Diana's.
Very impressive.
So there's an Instagram thing that I follow. It's called Fish Dance Party, and what they do is they'll dub fish concert music over people dancing.
How did I miss this?
No, listen. At one point over the weekend, there was a fish dance party Instagram posting of people coming out, and it looked like they were coming out of the royal wedding. And I was like, this can't be. I think it was legit. I'm fairly certain what I saw.
The fish music was playing when they were coming out?
But like ridiculous.
A selection from fish.
I just need to know if I did indeed see Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles come out dancing out of the chapel or whatever.
No, I don't think they were dancing when they walked out.
That is not.
Dude, that. Wait till Prince Charles and Camilla. They're
Casey.
Great.
Casey.
I know.
Casey.
What is it?
We're watching this right now. There's no way in hell the royal family would do something like this.
But look at this. They're great lookalikes right there.
They are not even remotely looking. That guy looks nothing like Prince Charles.
I was looking at her.
Oh.
You thought this was real.
I couldn't tell. It was on my tiny little
head.
What is this from, though?
It's a spoof.
It's a
spoof.
Oh my God.
People, we're watching this right now. It is absolutely absurd that Casey would think that this was legit at the actual royal wedding.
I'm telling you, when Prince Charles and Camilla, the Camilla lookalike, I was like, well, that kind of looks like her.
But Prince Charles,
you know
no.
what? Casey, it was. It was real.
Let him have this.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. They really are big fish fans.
We will talk further.
It's not fish.
We will talk further about this later on. So, amid speculation that they are reconciling and that their breakup was a PR stunt to drum up ratings for the their E! Show, Total Bellas, John Cena and Nikki Bella were photographed by TMZ out and about in San Diego. Cena and Bella broke up. You thought that was real?
I want it to be nice because I always get yelled at if I say anything about him. Come on!
So just to put this in perspective for you at home listening, it's like every wedding that you've ever seen where they're doing Michael Jackson dancing or whatever down the aisle and the whole thing. Could you imagine?
When they announce the wedding party and they each come out and one of them does a signature, you know, like the lawnmower. You know, or somebody does a running man and they do it sequenced with their partner and it's the royal family.
Did you just think, wow, they really lightened up?
No, listen.
Meghan Markle is really taking a bold new step.
I had to watch it a few times before I was like, no, that can't be real.
And then brought it up on the air to say, is this real?
Oh, well.
All right. Anyway, in other wedding news.
And Prince Harry can really dance.
Cena and Bella broke off their engagement 4 weeks ago, just a few weeks before their May 5th wedding. Their outing comes after a week of intense scrutiny, during which they both appeared on the Today Show promoting Total Bellas and discussing their continued love for each other. They didn't appear together.
So, Preston, I know you and I both are huge fans of Total Bellas. And there was that thought for a brief moment. But I think they really had a split, and I think it's been a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah.
And you, as an aficionado of the show, where do you stand on this?
I would agree. But I also think that maybe dude has flip flopped on the family thing, and
that's even a worse reason then. Yeah, let's have kids I can get you back. You don't want kids. Mm. No, it's the worst reason to have children.
So Bella admitted to People magazine that she and Cena were probably getting back together. She said, I told him to make a list, and I have to make a list about what makes us so happy for the rest of our lives and what are things we want. That's a sign that you shouldn't be together.
Have you ever had a list talk?
You shouldn't have to sit and make a list. List
reasons why we should be together.
Pros and cons. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know what's going on here is that they broke up. They still really like each other.
Yeah.
They just haven't found anybody else yet.
And
they're lonely.
They're in the deterioration of the relationship, and they're finding it hard to deal with it. But she's attractive. He's a superstar here in wrestling.
I'm sure they miss one another, you know, but like it sometimes you break up for a reason.
She had added,
I missed the salmon sandwich at LeBus, but I'm not going to marry him.
Would they take that off the menu or
is
something?
Is it off the menu?
No, I just haven't had one in a while.
So you're just saying in general.
So you'll go back.
I'll go back.
You miss it. Go back.
Well, from afar, we'll see each other at a party and I'll go, hey, how you been?
It's like that Carolina pulled pork sandwich at Iron Hill they used to have, man.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I don't think they have it anymore.
Yes, they do.
Do they? Sure?
Yes.
They took a dip off the menu at Iron Hill. My wife and I were about to sit in the garage with the car.
They did get rid of the Le Jean pizza, though.
Okay.
I have to throw one in. Okay. The little deliciousness that they used to give you at Redstone when you go to brunch. They don't have those anymore. What is wrong with them?
Remember when I thought I got that because I was a celebrity?
Yeah, it wasn't. Everybody
they must have recognized me.
It's everyone that goes to brunch.
Watch me make this waiter's day. Hey, did you see the royal couple dance into the church?
To fish music.
Listen.
We already did.
I know they weren't dancing to fish music. It's just I wasn't sure if it was the actual royals.
You can't take this back.
Yeah. No. I knew it wasn't fish music.
Everybody knew it wasn't fish music. Yeah. He's just doing it for the bit, Case. All right.
It's wonderful, though. And it's wonderful that you take the hit on it.
Adorable.
That looks like Camilla. Look at her. It totally looks like her.
But the guy looks nothing like Prince Charles.
Couldn't even look at him. I always looked at her.
Can we move on?
Yes, I think we can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring it back up again?
I didn't know.
Kathy did.
So
see what I mean? I get yelled at.
I didn't. You did not get yelled at.
They're trying to get back to it. Whatever. They're working. I'm moving on. We're going on to the story. Kylie Jenner is disputing the notion that it was her fault that she was 4 hours late to her pop-up shop in San Francisco on Friday.
Oh, jeez.
Pinning the blame on the police instead. The beauty mogul's fans lined up overnight to get a crack at her Kylie Jenner pop-up shop and catch a glimpse of her. After she learned that fans were complaining on social media, she hit up Twitter with her side of the story. She said, okay, for the few complaints I see, saying that I showed up 4 hours late to my pop-up, I want to make it clear that I don't get to choose what time I go. I would be there an hour before it opens if it were up to me, but it's up to the police, who shut down the street at a certain time and let me know when they believe I should come, because I feel strongly about their being there to see everyone's faces, which is possibly true.
But was she supposed to be there at a certain time? Did she say?
Oh, I don't know. To that point, if they did advertise she'd be there at a certain time.
So I mean, if it's an appearance, that's
a problem. However, though, she could be right. There's a security concern because, you know, I mean, after all, it's Kylie Jenner. Did you read?
She is a celebrity.
These pop-up stores, the amount of money they're generating, the Kylie stores.
I don't want to know.
All right, I won't tell you.
It's
ridiculous.
That's obscene, I'm sure. All right, staying within that vein, I didn't know this. Caitlyn Jenner has gotten serious with her rumored 21-year-old girlfriend.
That's right.
Per TMZ, Sophia Hutchins, who is also transgender.
She's a looker.
Has reportedly been dating Jenner for months. 21. How old is Caitlyn?
So I'm 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
So going to a
60s, but looking fabulous.
21-year-old.
So
68.
68.
68.
Thank you, Nick. You're a sweetheart. So there we are at our first night together, and we're like, let's get it on. And then we realized we both became chicks.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do?
They can still get it on.
Yeah, but not the hard way I was used to.
Oh, okay. You know. Well, earlier this week, she posted a shot of herself on what is believed to be Jenner's bed, captioning it, "Home, sweet home."
Apparently, she's their head over heels.
Okay.
We can become scissor sisters.
21, though.
It's a little young, right?
Yeah, but it's...
I'm robbing the crate, Laura and I.
Either that or the Sophia, this other person, is doing, you know, like a money grab or something like that. Or
could
trying
be.
To get, trying to get in the spotlight.
So. I'm a sugar mommy.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow, there's a picture of her in a bathing suit. She
Who? Me?
Sophia.
Of course not. God
not
damn
you.
It.
No, you are not going to look as good in a bathing suit as this chick.
There's a problem. I still have ghost sack.
Excuse me?
There's still the impression of a sack.
Ghost sack?
They were having a barbecue this weekend.
It's not there, but it still fills out the bathing suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like a phantom limb.
Phantom testicles.
Okay, all right.
So did Caitlyn...
Full
indeed,
deal.
Indeed, she did.
Full deal, as did her paramour. And they are, from what I've read, they're blissfully happy.
All right.
Good for them.
Sorry, and I think this is Caitlyn, right? There's no junk there, so she's in a bathing suit.
Doing the talk.
Chrissy Teigen shared her second child's name and picture on Instagram on Sunday. Hello, world. This is Miles Theodore Stevens.
Miles.
Say. Yeah.
Named after Miles Teller, no doubt.
No, probably Miles Davis.
Yeah, you're right.
I would imagine.
He's a musician.
She said, we are drowning in his little peeps and nuzzles. What?
Little peeps and nuzzles?
We're drowning in his little peeps and nuzzles?
Just trying to be cute.
Okay.
Just shut up.
She said, our household feels overwhelmed with love.
Takes a lot of courage to go tell a new mother to shut up.
Thank you for all your well wishes. Teigen and husband John Legend welcomed their second child on Wednesday. Baby Miles joins Luna, who is 2 years old.
What do you think of the name Luna?
I like it.
I think it's kind of a nice name.
Yeah.
It
means moon, so
yes.
It's really cool. Let's see here. In the season 14 finale of ABC's Grey's Anatomy, Sarah Drew and Jessica Capshaw bid a final adieu. Dr. April Kepner quit her job to work with Seattle Homeless and married her ex, and Capshaw's Dr. Arizona Robbins moved to New York to reunite with Kaylee.
It finished exactly the way I wanted it to, with me not watching.
But it was on 14 seasons, man. You gotta...
Oh, it's continuing. They're just losing these two characters.
Yeah, exactly. In several Instagram posts, they thank the cast and crew and fans. So they are on their way.
What show is this?
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey. Oh, okay. Is Grey even on the show anymore?
Yes. Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah,
she's the main one.
So Mario Batali The world-famous chef and restaurateur has been accused of at least by at least 11 women of sexual misconduct. Is subject of an ongoing investigation by the New York Police Department into allegations of criminal sexual misconduct.
This is not good.
60 Minutes ran a piece on him over the weekend. Sexual misconduct allegations against him first surfaced in December when the magazine Eater published a story detailing four women's allegations against Battali, including sexual assault. Now, at the time, he acknowledged that he did engage in inappropriate behavior and took leave from his restaurant group. But the 60 Minutes story includes interviews with women who say that they were sexually assaulted by Battali.
Yeah.
One woman who was interviewed in silhouette to protect her identity is accusing Battali of drugging her and engaging in what she described as criminal sexual misconduct while she was unconscious. I read the details. It's a little too
graphic,
nasty to get into here. But he, through an attorney, denied the allegations. At the time, the woman who worked for Battali in 2005 had a rape kit, like a test done, and spoke to detectives in the Special Victims Unit at the NYPD. And even though the detectives asked her to file a police report, she declined, telling 60 Minutes, they tried to get me to file a report. They tried. She said, but, you know, I was a young actress, no resources, no money, and I just couldn't do it. So that's what she said.
So the show The Chew is where you'd see him on most often. They have a couple of chefs on that show, and he was on periodically. But and I remember reading something that maybe it was Mark Summers, that Battali was really difficult to work with.
I had heard things like that too. He had a show on.
Difficult.
He had a couple of shows on Food Network before he got on The Chew, and I watched him regularly. And I had heard rumors that he was tough to work with.
Yeah.
That he was. Listen, a lot of chefs can be tough to work with. Some of them are very demanding and very arrogant.
Yeah, he has a huge ego, from what I've heard.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, so now it's coming around, and we'll see where this ends up going. Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack and his wife are divorcing
after
5.5 years of marriage. Lisa Stelly Osbourne filed the documents in Los Angeles on Friday, citing irreconcilable differences. She listed the date of separation as May 4th. The couple have three children together, 6-year-old Pearl Clementine, 2-year-old Andy Rose, and 3-month-old Minnie Theodora.
Minnie. I tell you what, the...
Wow, 3 months?
Three...
They're getting a divorce.
Yes,
wow.
And they... They went through a lot together. He had health issues, and this is very sad to hear that. They seem like a good couple.
Yeah, Jack and Lisa shared a joint statement on their Instagram accounts on Friday night, which read, so the news about us separating has probably come as a bit of a shock to everyone, but we wanted to be clear the air and share with you what's going on. So first and foremost, we absolutely still love each other.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
Our family is the most important thing in our lives, and we tried everything we could for many years to make it work. What's best for our family right now is that we separate lovingly and remain best friends who are committed to raising our children together.
Ozzy tried to counsel them, but they couldn't understand what he was saying.
I would imagine. He probably had some really good things to say.
Do a pros and cons list.
But they... Okay, right.
It always works.
John Cena is.
I counsel John Cena too.
Lisa is asking for joint legal and physical custody of children. She's also requesting spousal support.
That's sad to hear that.
Yeah. The Billboard Music Awards were yesterday.
They were last night. I find them the most of the. There's a tremendous amount to not like, but this one, it's based on Billboard sales. And chart position.
That is chart position.
Yeah, so you know who the winners are.
Yeah, so I'll just give you a couple of the award winners, and we don't need to go any further than that. The top artist was Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
Top new artist is Khalid. Top male artist is Ed Sheeran. Top female artist was Taylor Swift. Top duo or group is Imagine Dragons. Top touring artist was U2. Top R&B artist, Bruno Mars. And top rap artist was Kendrick Lamar. Top country artist was Chris Stapleton.
Hmm.
And then it goes into, you know, the categories that split up left. Top rock artist was Imagine Dragons. So they got duo group and they got top rock artist as well. So, that was it. At least this one doesn't happen in the midst of the onslaught of all those other ones.
That's true.
You know, that's the only thing I can kind of give it, I guess.
I just despise when we go into award season because you kind of have to watch them all.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. That's why God bless whoever invented the DVR.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Netflix has snagged Jennifer Aniston to play the U.S. president. And Tig Notaro to play the First Lady in a show called First Ladies, a political comedy about America's first female president and her wife. So it's a comedy.
Yes.
And it's a gay couple, and she becomes president. Notaro is writing with Stephanie Allian. And Notaro can be seen on her comedy special, Happy to Be Here, on Netflix, May 22nd,
so
by the way.
She, Tig Notaro, is one of the ones, one of the comedians who came forward to accuse Louis C.K.
Yeah, that's right. But
she herself, her show, is actually very funny. She has a, I think it's, Nick, do you watch it? It's on Amazon, I
no,
think?
I like Tig Notaro, but yeah. I find that comedians love Tig Notaro. And I don't quite love her.
I don't, yeah, I don't think there's...
I think she's clever. And
she's clever. She's funny, but she's not...
She doesn't make
epic.
Me belly laugh.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper is deep in negotiations to star opposite Clint Eastwood in Warner Brothers' movie called The Mule, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
Now you get on my back and pretend I'm a mule.
Eastwood is all...
Really?
I don't think it's about that. He's going to be...
I'm going to play Eeyore.
It's a retelling of Winnie the Pooh.
It's Eeyore's spinoff. It's just about him mainly.
I'm going to kick your ass.
He directed, Eastwood directed Cooper in American Sniper.
Which earned Cooper an Oscar nomination for Best Actor and Eastwood a nomination for Best Picture.
This movie's good, but there's not enough donkeys.
So if he joins, we will find out down the road. But the rumor is that he's talking to him about doing that.
Do they know what the plot is? Or
In this particular
Nothing.
Story, it didn't.
A 90-year-old horticulturalist and a WW2 veteran is caught transporting $3 million worth of cocaine through Michigan for a Mexican drug cartel.
All right. So
remake a DC Cab.
Yep.
I wonder when that what time frame that'll be, because if it's a World
War in the future.
Well, no, not in the future, because if it's a 90-year-old horticulturist, I assume that's Clint, and then a World War II veteran. Yeah. Maybe it's a few years back, and so Bradley Cooper plays.
Bradley
World
Cooper's
II
playing the World War II veteran.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. All right, moving on. If you want to see Melissa McCarthy snort ecstasy and assault a sex-crazed puppet, then you got to check out the trailer for Happy Time Murders.
I did.
Which
yeah,
I have
too.
Not seen yet.
I saw it before Deadpool 2.
Preston, like... it's off the charts.
It's an R-rated comedy set in the underbelly of L.A. where puppets and humans coexist.
Yeah.
Brian Henson, puppeteer and son of Muppets creator Jim Henson, is the director in this film.
I wonder what Jim would think about that.
Because it's his son, you know what? That's a good question, because it's still the magic of puppets, but they are profoundly profane. Mm-hmm. So it puts me in mind of like Team America.
Right. Maya Rudolph, Joel McHale, and Elizabeth Banks also star, and Happy Time hits theaters August 17th.
But you know what's
coming up? I love this concept.
I do love it. The thing is that it has to be a script, though. You can't. The initial joke of seeing puppets say stuff like this will only go so far.
I assume with Melissa McCarthy on board,
it's
got a good shot at being a legit comedy.
There's a lot of connections to the Muppet world, though. Bill Beretta is in it as well, and Bill does a lot of the voices in the Muppet, the legit Muppet world. So it's not like they're shying away from the connection.
Yeah. All right, and then one last thing. Comedy fans are getting a peek at Steve Martin and Martin Short's upcoming special called An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
I cannot wait for this.
We've talked about this before when they announced that they were going to be doing it. I love it. The longtime pals banter, exchange insults, and they dance together. And Martin, of course, plays the banjo at some point. The special begins streaming on Netflix on the 25th.
For me, a huge joy is watching Martin Short crack Steve Martin up. Because Steve Martin finds, as we all do, I mean, it's Steve Martin, a nuclear legend in comedy.
Yep.
And you have Martin Short who cracks him up.
I just want to let you know, I looked over your shoulder in the green room and I just saw a bicep. I kid you not.
That must be...
Robert Irvine.
Must be Bill.
Okay, no. All right, we're going to do let's do the clips. Here we go. Tonight, The Terror concludes its story. Okay, leaving viewers to wonder who is going to survive. In this clip, executive producer David Kaganich, I guess how you say his name, talks about how the show has transitioned during the series. Here we go.
The beginning of the show, you're rather tightly wedded to the perspective of this particular expedition coming from a time and place where the Inuits were the others. And it allowed the show to, every episode, sort of back up and take a wider and more complex view of the whole picture. So that by the end of the series, it's really hard to know who is the protagonist of this story.
All right, I know what this is because at the I think it was the finale or the next to last episode yep. of The Walking Dead that it automatically recorded that for me.
Right, yeah. They forced it on your deal. It's actually I watched the first couple episodes. It's well done, but I'm watching too much TV. And I just started watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So I'm
just
welcome on board.
There we go. I'm going along.
I'm very happy for you.
Yeah. Is there a monster in this? Is it or
there's a dry cleaner?
Okay.
Does that count? No. It's apparently it's based on historical fact melded with.
Okay.
You know
stuff. Yeah.
There's a demonic polar bear.
Okay. Well, the terror
is... This is going to get real. Yeah, and I talk too.
The terror airs a new episode, 9 p.m. on AMC tonight. Let's do the last clip. Here we go. iZombie's latest episode features titular character Liv Moore changing personalities every episode. Here, Rose McIver talks about her role in the show.
When you're a kid and you think, I want to be an actor when I grow up, it's because you could play all these different roles and assume these different characters. And a lot of the time, you don't get to do that. You play one role for a long time and you fight to find the variety in it. But for me, it's like a kid's dream to go into a dress-up box each week and like put on that hat and be somebody else. So I feel very, very lucky.
Oh. Uh-huh. A new episode premieres tonight on the CW at 9 p.m. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment round.
That was a lot. You know, actually, it's good that we left, though, because there's a whole bunch of royal wedding stuff.
Yeah, there's too much of it. That's why I didn't. We can't expand on it right here. I do have a lot of details about the ceremony over the weekend and the
party afterwards
and all that stuff. Yeah. So we may get to that in a little bit. But we do have a few guests on the program. We're going to have Junis Suotamo, who is the new Chewbacca. That's him. And he will be in the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story, which we have a screening of tonight, and I should give away some passes. I'll take five callers, and it's tonight at the UA King of Prussia at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. It doesn't hit theaters until the 25th, so let's get you on board, and he's stopping by today.
6:10, all 6:10 of them.
215-263-WMMO. We're going to also have Fernando Velasco. He is with the Champions of Magic, that show coming to the Miriam Theater in June. And our friend Robert Irvine is here.
Yay!
At the Green Room. Very big event coming up tonight at the Fillmore. It is a food and music event called Beats and Eats, and we'll talk with him specifically about that and some more stuff when we get back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So tonight, big event that's going on at the Fillmore. We spoke to our next guest on the phone last week just to get prepared and make sure you're set to go because it is tonight and he is here now in Philadelphia ready for it. It's called Beats and Eats, a big food and music event at the Fillmore. Our friend Robert Irvine is here this morning.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun. What a great picture.
Yes,
I want to know kind of how you do that without coming up for air. You don't breathe when you do that report.
How long have I been with you guys? 13 years? That's how I do it.
That's how she does it, yes. She learns how to speak fast.
That's stress. That's like stress.
Yeah.
We're looking at a picture of Robert. I guess it's
sexy. That's a sexy
That
picture.
Is a sexy shot. Yeah.
You know where I saw the most bizarre photo of you is on Wikipedia. This picture of you.
Hang on.
On Wikipedia?
Like, yeah, it looks like he's, dear father. It looks like you're confessing. Doesn't it? It looks like you're praying.
I think you look better with the salt and pepper hair than the darker hair.
Yeah, the gray. Yeah. There you go.
That
looks much better. My wife said, Gail said to me, by the way, she was going to come in this morning, but she wanted to sleep in.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to work it, Robert. We love her.
I know. But
she's awesome.
So she looked like angelic this morning, so I didn't want to wake her up.
All right. Is she going to be there tonight?
Yes, she'll be there tonight.
All right. There's incentive for last-minute ticket purchases.
Yeah, we only have 10 left.
Only 10
tickets left. Total.
Wow. Okay. So this is, for people who don't know, explain, because it's basically like anything goes.
So Beats and Eats is about music and food, obviously, but everybody's been to those boring dinners, right?
Right.
And then buffet dinners. We did it family style, so there's lots of great chefs, Elizabeth Faulkner, Jen Carroll, Jason Kikonski, Brad Spence, et cetera, and we're doing courses. So we're going to dump it on the table. You help yourself. You drink a lot. You eat a lot. But while you're doing that, you're helping my charity, Robert Irvine Foundation, that builds homes for severely handicapped warriors with Gary Sinise, buys dogs, post-traumatic stress dogs, with Valor Service Dogs, takes a group of people this week, coming up Memorial Weekend, takes a bunch of soldiers down there.
Wow.
It's a really cool thing. And 100% of the money we raise goes to the end user. I pay for the foundation out of my own pocket.
Right.
So that stamps and everything else.
So when people complain about, like, hey, they're afraid that the money raised is going to go to office furniture or something, about this goes directly through.
And you
the,
can see it's transparent. Right. It's on the website. All right, the money right, made, yeah. Where it goes, et cetera, et cetera. We're pretty good with that.
So good, good.
It's a second event, but the first event for the foundation.
Very cool.
Which is exciting to me because if we make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, it goes a long way.
That's nice. Very cool.
And by the way, if there's only 10 tickets left, we have a special
what
20% off.
Do we?
Yes. If you're a WMMR listener, you go to our webpage, WMMR.com, click on events, and you should see the link there. So that's going to save you a little bit of money. Have a good time.
And if you're number 11, you get to do dishes.
You still there you go. Dishes. That's it. You got to do kitchen duty. Yeah.
That's very cool. Nice. Are you? Is there anything that you have on the menu tonight?
Yeah, we're doing. I got a
crockpot stuff.
Doing,
right?
We're doing a Cuban style crockpot. No, we're doing a Cuban style tomahawk ribeye with charred Vidalia onions, cilantro chimichurri, plantain chips, and smashed patatas.
Ooh,
I had plantain chips. They're good.
They're good if they're done well.
They're good if they're done well. I guess I had them done well. I was surprised because I'm not a big plantain fan to begin with, but these suckers were good.
And then the coolest thing is, this has got nothing to do with tonight, but tomorrow, one of our Iraqi veterans was blown up during the first Iraq War. I got to see him come from Germany,
yeah,
where they give him his rights, his death rights on his bed when I was in the room.
Right.
And I literally smacked him and I said, listen, don't you die on my watch. His wife was in there. He's doing amazing. Luis Avila. And I said to him, if you stay alive, I'll cook you a meal. So tomorrow afternoon,
wow,
in the Pentagon, I've got a 96-ounce steak and a big
What? 96-ounce steak. What, he just removed the horns?
I thought you wanted
to keep him alive, Robert.
And we're going to give him his steak.
Wow.
So it's going to be kind of cool.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah. So he was out for the count.
Yeah,
when you saw him, he was done.
Now we see him in a wheelchair. He's lost his voice box, but he's alive and doing well.
Well, speaking of that, I was really enjoying your Twitter post when you were just doing USO stuff. Yeah. And were you in Afghanistan?
So I was in. We started in Alaska, Japan, Korea. We broke down in Korea.
Okay.
It was me, John Stewart, Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, it was a really cool.
Max Holloway. It was nuts.
It was an eclectic crew of people who were, and so, but John Stewart going along on this, and it looked like you guys were having a good time.
We had the blast, and when we got, the plane broke down, you know, with the vice chairman of Joint Chiefs.
Yes, yeah.
He's an Air Force guy, and the Air Force plane breaks down. But there's only, you know, a certain amount of C-17s that have this communications package that he needs to be in communication all the time.
Right.
So it broke down. We spent 2 days there just before the summit. So we end up going to the DMZ and watch all this stuff going on, which is kind of
hilarious. Are you kidding? Really? Wow.
It was fun.
Especially now with all this going on.
And then we went to Iraq and Afghanistan. And then Spain was our last trip.
That's awesome.
Last tour. So, yeah, it was 9 days and it was pretty fun.
It's you are constantly freaking traveling. How many times does your luggage get lost?
It gets damaged more than it gets lost.
All right, because I got to figure statistically.
I go through a new case. A Samsonite case. This is a big push for Samsonite to get better cases.
Yeah,
and give me free ones. Right. I go through a new case every 3 weeks.
Jeez.
Cost me $100 every 3 weeks.
But you got your dumbbells in the friggin' thing.
Hey, Robert, I wanted to ask, you know, being born in the UK, the royal wedding was over the weekend. Over here, a lot of people fascinated with it. Do you have any fascination towards that, or did you pay attention to some of it?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a big deal. A wedding in England, especially with a prince, is a big deal. So for me, I think it's going to change the monarchy tremendously. Harry is very well liked, more so I think than William.
But didn't they start with William and Kate? I think, and we all sort of said on this side, and you can agree or disagree, but that they started the ball rolling towards being more accessible and carrying the monarchy forward and making it more accessible.
Absolutely.
And I think Harry and Meghan will deliver on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's two different upbringings, just like Charles and Andrew.
Right.
Charles grew up to be the next king. Andrew was the spare. Harry's the spare. William's not. He's the next king.
Right,
So I think there's less pressure on Harry to do certain things. That's why he's done what he's done through his life. I think he's taken his mum's charities to heart. He does a lot of work, obviously, Invictus Games with the military, the DOD Games, which I had the pleasure of wheelchair rugby in both. But he's going to change the monarchy.
Have you ever had a chance to meet the Queen herself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know you were in close proximity. Yeah.
But
I didn't know if it was like, you know.
She's at 92, 93 years old right
now. Yeah,
yeah. At some point, she's going to hand over her reins to someone.
Man, but she looks like she's not. She's going
still
great.
Looks pretty good.
By the way, they were cheering her. This shows you how things have, like, young people and everybody were cheering. I guess they were calling her Lizzie and cheering her. Around the whole deal. And so she's gone to work as far as changing her. You've seen her laughing. You've seen her telling jokes about
it. You imagine she became queen at an early age, not through a fault of her own.
Right.
She was dumped into it. She was during the Second World War. She was making cars and tires and she was a worker. I thought she's been a tremendous monarch.
She has, and I think a lot of people are now becoming aware of that through this series, The Crown, has done a great deal to show just what, I mean, she's what, 19, and she's talking to Churchill, you know, 1920, she's thrust into all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty amazing deal, so. Yeah. How important is that, even to this point, at this day
and age? I think the monarchy is what brings people to England. They're respected. There's no real power with the monarchy, obviously, like the President of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's more of a figurehead. They've got lots of money and obviously through time.
But they are the outward face.
But I think the world respects the monarchy.
Yeah. And we're perpetually fascinated with it.
Yeah.
Hey, now, you've catered big events before. What would you have wanted to take on a job like that, like that the reception?
Easy. That was easy.
That was easy?
Was it? It was all crockpot stuff.
200 people?
Yeah.
200 people? Come on, we do 20,000.
Yeah. Well, what was it? There were two parties. So what did they, was there food for the first?
There was a lunch, right? A lunch after the wedding.
Right.
And then there was a party afterwards.
Which was the 200.
200 people. So, yeah, I mean, burgers and popcorn and, yeah, I mean, come on.
And I heard no shellfish at all because it could...
And most of the food that the Her Majesty the Queen has is either shot or caught on her land.
Okay. Yeah.
Like fished and salmon and things. It's from the land. So she's very, very specific.
A lot of celebs there. Oprah Winfrey, Idris Elba, James Blunt, George and Amal Clooney were there. Victoria and David Beckham.
Who looked miserable?
Did they really?
She looked like she was hungry.
She always looks miserable, and he's got a smile on his face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She is hungry all the time.
She weighs 15 pounds.
She's a stick. No, but when you're cooking for like a high profile audience like that, Robert's laughing at Steve. Yeah. Does that make a difference?
It doesn't make any difference. What? It's a timing thing. It's got to be hot. It's got we'll do a dinner. We're doing a dinner tomorrow. For Easter Seals, then one on Thursday with Gary Sinise, then one on Friday night for 1,000 for TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program. Same thing. We've got to get that food out hot and fast.
Yeah, I think I saw a special for the Governor's Ball, and it was Wolfgang Puck, and they were following him. And the most important thing is having it all come together at the right time.
But it just then becomes an issue of mathematics and
time people.
And time, okay.
So we do one every year. We do one every year called Skyball. We feed 3,000 people, 3,400 people, a sit-down dinner in a hangar in Dallas-Fort Worth. We turn that hangar into a beautiful restaurant, but it's literally, because it's a program, there's people on radios, and when they say go, we feed 3,000 people in an hour.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, and it's hot, and it's great.
Yeah. All right, so two-part question then. Do you ever get nervous? And if so, when was the last time you did get nervous for an event like this?
I get nervous every time I do a big event.
Because anything
can
go
duty.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Anything can go wrong. Okay, so when was the last time you got really nervous before something huge?
We did a thing in Tampa, a lunch for the General of Special Operations 2 weeks ago. And then I saw him in Afghanistan. We were in Afghanistan.
Wow.
And that's pretty, when we do a dinner of Special Operations folks, 1,000 people, or a lunch for 20, or all those things, like, oh, what can go wrong? And what's he thinking right now?
Yeah. And have you had something go wrong before at a big event? And then you're like, oh,
not that I would ever confess to. I covered it up.
Well, your ability to cover it up is, you got to be
Paul Prudhomme, you know, he burnt the fish and now he was it blackening seasoning?
Yeah, yeah.
And he made millions. So. Yeah.
Sure, he made a mistake and it worked. But yeah. The last thing you want is to have like a find out at the last minute that a 4-star general has a peanut allergy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be bad. So yeah. It's wild. So with this and you see the pomp and the ceremony, all that stuff, or whatever event you're involved with, you're just taking. It all comes down to the basic recipes and the amount.
Yeah,
and that's it.
How's it made? Is it seasoned correctly? Or has it been tested? So if we're making something with meat, you know, that we right. test a small amount and make sure it's seasoned correctly?
Yeah.
And who's going to serve it and where's it going to go?
How do you though, and Preston, please chime in as well. When you're, just because you're taking a small sample of part of it, how do you know the vast majority of what you made is linear to that?
Because you're good.
Because you're good. No. Okay, all right. I'll take that.
I like to cook. I do the majority of cooking at the house. And I have prided myself in figuring out how to have it all be ready at the same time. You know what takes the longest and when to start it and what we'll keep and what, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've figured that out. And I'm pretty damn good at it.
Right. You love it, too. We were talking about this last week, that for him... And for many, I don't know if this is for you now. I assume it still is because you have a genuine love of it. Is it still a zen creative deal for
cooking.
You?
Cooking. Yeah, I know, absolutely. It's a relaxing thing for me.
Yeah.
Was it 2 weeks ago? We did the Chief of the Army, General Milley, and the Undersecretary, Ryan, wanted to talk about healthy food for the military. So we went down there and it was a cook-off. It was eggs. Anything you can do with eggs.
Right.
And it was supposed to be a blind tasting. Well, they had three soldiers tasting, and he went in and put the food down. He's like, "That's mine." Yeah, that's a real point, David. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, food is we need food for friendship. We need food to eat.
Yeah,
but it's really interesting to watch how groups of people are around when you go out for dinner. Is it the food that makes the difference, or is it the people?
Mm.
Because if you go out with sucky people...
You're right.
Yeah, the food doesn't taste good.
Yeah. I agree. Bad service, bad environment. It all is a symphony there.
And you won't get any of that tonight.
No.
Perfect food, it's great service.
Music, the whole deal.
Music.
At the Fillmore. And I'll give you the details on that in a second. Robert Irvine here to talk about Beats and Eats. But I wanted to bring up something because this coming weekend is a big grilling weekend in the United States. Memorial Day weekend. You had given me a tip a few years ago. I asked you about how to make a great burger, and Steve had brought this up not too long ago, and you had told me something I'd never heard of, and you had said to take a hot dog and bacon and puree that up and mix that into your ground beef, and I did do that, and it does give it a, you know, listen, because if you want a good-tasting burger, it's got to be kind of fatty.
Got to fatty, absolutely.
Yeah. It's got to have a lot of flavor in it.
See,
and that's a way to do it.
I had a burger, though, where I think, and it was a great place, a great restaurant, I'm not going to mention it, but I think the ratio of hot dog to the burger meat, I could taste a large portion of the hot dog in the hamburger, and I didn't like that.
Because you put too much in.
All right.
You can have short rib, you can have cheese. Any other type of meat
right. That's
ground up with a burger. Because burger's kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put a very short rib in the middle of that, or I don't know, what's the other one? Pastrami,
yeah,
that's another good
one. Really?
But, it should be
one part of the meat and two parts of the beef.
Okay,
all right. So you take some pastrami and you puree it. You
grind
put it in
it
a
up,
food processor
grind it,
or grind it.
Up,
okay,
put that in there, and mix it together. I'll tell you, you'll never have a better burger.
What's the one thing you'd like to tell
people
for Memorial Day weekend who are barbecuing and getting out and trying out new grills or whatever? What's something they should really take out for a spin on the grill that's always a home run?
Well, first of all, I hope that they take a minute to think about what Memorial Day is.
Yes.
Because it's a big deal. I'll be on a parade down in D.C. And then celebrate with, you know, I am not a fan of processed foods. Go out, ask them to grind you some beef and make your own burgers. Make sure that you get potato rolls. I'm not a big lover. Or brioche rolls.
Right.
Because a burger is not just the bread. It's the crispy lettuce. It's the tomato. It's the bun, you know. That's what makes
the whole deal.
Yeah,
makes a burger.
What I can't stand is I'll go and the people if they're having burgers, they have like wilted lettuce, you know, just regular iceberg lettuce. I get like bib lettuce or Boston lettuce or something like that. And then
here's
what you got to do. If you're gonna be slicing up your veggies for your burger,
preach.
don't make it like an inch thick cut of onion or tomato.
You son of a little bit bitch! Thinner,
and then you will allow people to put the amount they want on there.
There you go.
I hate that. I take my time, Robert Irvine.
And I don't like it when you put the lettuce on the burger and then the burger on top of the lettuce because it looks like snot.
Yes! Yes!
It's awful. Right. It's awful. Right.
Presentation, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're going to put it on just before you're about to eat it, I mean, put it on and then it's nice and crispy and whatever.
And thank you for mentioning the roll because I went to a party 2 or 3 years ago and the burgers themselves were delicious. They took these rolls out of the freezer and they'd been in the freezer since the Truman administration. And they didn't even defrost them? Well, they did defrost them, but they were so old and hard and disgusting at that point. It was just like, you've ruined the burger.
That sucks.
And get a little more creative. Like, you know, not just yellow mustard, maybe get some stone ground mustard.
Now he's showing off.
Or little aioli.
I said aioli.
Yeah. Or gorgonzola instead of just cheddar. Come on, man. A little creative with
Stupid
it.
Stupid bastards.
Robert, so anybody doing nothing next weekend?
Come over to my house.
Yeah,
exactly. No, where you need to go is to Beats and Eats, and that is tonight. It's a food and music event at the Fillmore, Philadelphia. And as Robert said, I love the fact that you guys are doing this family style.
This is awesome.
Sometimes you go to these events and you get the little tiny portions and all that, but you can just scoop it up and go for it, right?
You know, here's the thing. Lots of different courses made by great chefs. Elizabeth Fortner, Jen Carroll, Jason, Brad Spence, Bo McMillan. I'm doing the course. Marcy Turney. Then we got something really special. We have a flag made with donuts.
Is this from, was it Chef Matt Fine? Is that his name? So he's executive chef, Federal Donuts?
Federal Donuts.
Wow.
So Tom Burry, you know Tom from Restaurant Impossible?
He
made the base of this flag, and this flag is all donuts. But last year, there were so many donuts, I didn't get one of them. They were gone before I got to it, so we roped it off this year.
Interesting note, Betsy Ross's original flag was made out of bear claws.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that. And then she switched to fabric at the request of George Washington because I can't carry this in the rain. But, this is amazing.
Donuts.
Yeah. It's just a little piece of history for
you. I only come here for Steve's trivia.
All right, so if you want to get 20% off to the event tonight, go to WMMR.com and click on events, and you will be able to do that. And as Robert said, there's only about 10 left. And guess what? They've given us another pair to give away, and I can give them away right now. And I'll take caller number 25. It is tonight. It's at 7 o'clock. It's at the Fillmore. Is there an age restriction on this at all? I don't see any.
Well, it's alcohol, so yes.
All right, so 21 or older.
Can you have a tapeworm?
215-263-WMMR. Caller 25, you will get the tickets to go to the event.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man. And how's Vegas? How's your...
Vegas is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing ridiculous numbers. The feedback is awesome.
When are you going to have us out there for a live broadcast from your restaurant?
Whenever you want, Bruce.
Yeah, it's actually on our end.
We want to do a Vegas trip. And
we desperately want to do a Vegas trip.
We need a home to go out there and do it and do a live show and bring some people.
I will tell you, you've got the Tropicana Hotel if you want it.
Okay.
All right. I dig that.
Side note.
I can do that.
Okay. I know. You know somebody. You know you.
I know a few.
And I know you're a hockey fan. How about the Vegas Golden Knights, man?
It's so funny. Somebody said, why don't we take your picture off the side of the building and put that there?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan. It's weird to root for a team that where it's 110 degrees outside, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals. But I'm excited. And Pierre-Edward Belmar is a former Flyer, and it's their inaugural season. It's a great story for Vegas. And,
are you digging it?
We actually have the guy who's doing their PR now is he used to be the big USO leader in Vegas. So we're doing a lot with him for the charity. So
That's cool. It's good times.
Have fun, man.
Yep. All right. Let's get you on board and go to the event tonight. Like I said, WMMR.com/events for the details. Always great to see you, sir. Thanks for coming by.
So I've now thrown down the gauntlet. You have a place to go.
Okay.
Yes.
We've got everything you need. Now it's up to you.
We'll put it in motion.
Casey, you cannot bring crock pots.
It's the only stipulation.
Well, I will not bring one with me, but I'll buy one when I'm there.
At that all-night crock pot place.
Yeah. We have security. We have security for you.
Nice. All right, let's give it up, gang. Robert Irvine.
Yeah!
On the Preston and Steve Show. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a second. B-File is coming up next. Stay with us.
50 years.
years of live music, as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show!
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs, captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcasts from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes! So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
And we're going to recap MMRBQ in a little bit, but the night of the show, an announcement was made about, you know, we've had this series of concerts that are all part of MMR's 50th birthday anniversary. And MMRBQ was a big part of that. But we have what is now being called the MMR 50th Finale Concert.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be the last official concert that commemorates the 50 years. And it just so happens that it's going to be Metallica.
Yes! Yes!
Freaking Metallica.
How crazy is that?
It's just crazy. It is. But like... It just blew my mind.
So this is Thursday, October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets go on sale Friday, June 1st at noon.
And that mother is going to sell out quickly.
You kidding me, man? Details, including the MMR VIP pre-sale, you can get them at WMMR.com. Listen all week for some free tickets, your chance to win. Maybe I heard there's maybe one of the guys might call the station sometime this week because we just rolled out the official announcement over the weekend. So we'll see.
I would imagine, and they're really, you know, they've been really cool. Did you see the video they put together? It's Lars and I forget who else. Casey was on the video.
I think it was Kirk.
It might be.
I've not seen it yet, and I need to check that out. Yeah. You guys told me about it, so I think that's pretty amazing. So we're looking forward to it. All right, B-file time. Let's go to it
now. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning the Bizarre File is brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. New mocktail Italian ices at Rita's. So they have margarita, pina colada, mojito, and tropical daiquiri.
And they're good.
You got to try them. They are promos. It says as a promo-sized frozen drink. For $1.99 for a limited time, or you can take them home in quarts of ice and make your own mocktail as well.
Promo's my favorite size.
Which is pretty cool. All right, so a Delta Airlines passenger who pleaded guilty in February to 3 counts of assault on an aircraft and 1 count of interfering with a flight crew member was sentenced to 2 years in prison on Tuesday. 2 years in jail. Yeah, before a flight from Seattle to Beijing in July, Joseph Hudek IV consumed edible marijuana to help him sleep. Now, Hudek said he began to feel dramatically different after ingesting the marijuana. Once on the flight and it was in the air, he reportedly tried to open an exit door and assaulted a flight attendant and another passenger. He reportedly punched the flight attendant in the face and then hit a passenger in the head with a wine bottle.
Oh, my God.
The flight attendant reportedly ended up hitting Hudek with 2 wine bottles. Double back on that. After one of the bottles broke over his head, Hudek did not seem impacted and instead shouted, "Do you know who I am?
I'm Hudek!"
The passenger reportedly suffered permanent damage to one of his eyes and brain injury that was has impaired his ability to read and write.
So, all for what?
For what? Multiple passengers reportedly restrained him before the flight landed. He faced up to 20 years in prison.
2 years is still a lot.
Yeah, the judge said he considered Hudek's age. He's only 24. Lack of prior criminal offenses and 300 letters of support sent to the court on his behalf.
There's a picture of the galley of the jet. It's destroyed.
Yeah, and apparently Delta has banned him from all flights for life.
Why?
By the way, I know. So I teased this. Customs officials have arrested 2 airline passengers in Sri Lanka for allegedly trying to smuggle 20 gold bars inside of their rectums.
Wow. All right, so stop. You know how much a bar of gold weighs?
Yeah, this
20 gold bars in their asses?
Yeah, I think they're smaller than, you know, like the one that's the size of a brick.
You got to have a hugely fat ass to fit 10 bars of gold in there.
The pair...
Are we talking like what do they call it, ingots?
They weigh 100 grams each, however much 100
okay,
grams
that's
is.
1,400 pounds.
So the pair caught the officials' attention as they were noticed walking suspiciously.
They were duck walking.
The suspected smugglers had arrived at the airport when they were intercepted because of their suspicious movements. 8 gold bars, each weighing about 100 grams, were allegedly discovered in the rectums of an airline passenger. Officials found a further 12 gold bars being smuggled in a second passenger.
So we're talking the full gold bricks that we've seen.
No, I don't think they're that big.
And did you see at Fort Knox, correct?
After they were stopped and had their butts scanned, gold bars were allegedly found concealed in them.
I don't know what you're eating, but I've got to eat that too.
Customs,
you literally have gold coming out of your ass.
Officers also arrested a 31-year-old Sri Lankan arriving from Mumbai for allegedly smuggling 2 gold bars, but those were in his shoe.
Well, that's the way I would do it, frankly.
Would think that'd be the better way to go about it.
I forgot about that.
Oh, the shoe.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this, Preston. This almost looks like necklace size. Like,
I don't have anything to compare.
Like there's a medallion.
There's no nothing.
Well, there's an arrow there.
To put it into context.
They look smaller, right?
So anyhow, the price of the 24-karat gold of Sri Lanka has been experiencing a hike in smuggling of gold bars and jewelry after a recent tax increase on the precious metal. The price rose to 62,000 rupees in April.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's why they're seeing such a rise.
They each weigh about a quarter pound.
Really?
Yeah.
That's okay. Still that's substantial.
Yeah. That's a good amount.
I mean, that's a heavy dump.
Let's see. There's a story I'm looking for, and I want to get to it because you guys may have seen it in the news. It's pretty nasty.
Any more precious metals up the bunghole?
No, hang on just a second because this is a fatal story. No, it was the cougar attack. Yeah. Where the
Seattle,
hell is
I think
this?
It was.
Yeah, hang on. I'm looking for the actual story, which I have in here. And why would it be so?
Cougar see Seattle.
No, hang on a second. I got it.
Do you want me to vamp a little bit?
Sure.
Hello, my honey. Hello, my baby. Hello, my... That's all I know.
Do you want me to go through it? Do you want to do a short story while I go through your stuff?
Okay. All right.
We can work together on this.
Yeah.
Here. Hang on.
And good evening, friends.
Yeah. Here's a follow-up story. The Ocala High School teacher involved in the controversial drowning of raccoons with his agriculture class students has retired now. I had this last week for you. The school district was investigating claims that A Forest High School teacher drowned 2 raccoons and an opossum that were killing chickens with students from his agriculture.
Why didn't you chuck that cat in the basket, too?
Science class. Pictures and video recorded by a student show a raccoon and a metal wire trap with the teacher and students then lifted into a garbage bin, and then they filled the bin with water from several hoses.
I'm actually... Listen, so this raccoon apparently had attacked a chicken that they had or whatever the hell the story was. I'm surprised that students stood around and watched this.
Yeah, they're not naming the teacher because he has not officially been charged. The teacher, who has been with the school district for 31 years, was placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome and investigation.
I was just glad that over the course of my years, I could murder some animals in front of kids.
The teacher submitted his letter of retirement to the district on Thursday. His decision to retire ends the school district's investigation.
Dead Raccoon Society.
However, the investigations by the health department continue. You couldn't find it, huh?
No.
All right, don't worry about it. Here you
crazy.
Go.
Crazy.
I'll get to it in a little bit. And I know that I had it because I read it. And
good evening, friends.
Tried to vamp again.
And it was pretty wild, but I'll get to it a little bit later on. A stylist at a Brooklyn barber shop threw a client through the front window after he complained about his haircut.
Wow. My suggestion, don't complain about your haircuts there.
Yeah. The 33-year-old victim was at the Levels Barbershop on Thursday afternoon. Police say he threatened to withhold payment for the cut because he didn't like it. The barber was enraged and shoved him through the storefront window.
You don't like it? What?
The attack left a gaping hole.
I said I like it.
A gaping hole in the glass. The victim's face was ripped open.
Oh, my God.
And his clothing was covered in blood, and he was taken by ambulance to a hospital. Now, the stylist ran off. The other barbers there said they didn't know the stylist's name or how to reach him.
That's a he just wandered in off the street?
I guess you can just come in and...
start cutting.
Yeah. So anyhow, they're looking for him. All right, and I'm going to end with this. I absolutely love this story. A New York man's GoFundMe campaign has raised more than $1,000 to put toward hiring a mariachi band to perform for the lawyer whose racist rant against Hispanic workers went viral. You guys,
it's great.
I'm sure you saw it. This guy, this attorney, Aaron Schlossberg, was harassing employees of a Manhattan restaurant for speaking Spanish, and he accused the workers of being undocumented and threatened to call immigration and customs enforcement. So this guy is hiring a mariachi band to follow him around. The donation page reads, "We're requesting the band to sing the famous, endearing, the warm Spanish children's song La Cucaracha. We are countering hate and racism with the sound of music. Any leftover money will be used to send a delicious taco truck lunch to the staff and a copy of all federal and state statutes mentioning undocumented immigrants do not qualify for welfare." So they're sending that over to
the great thing is, like, wherever you stand on this issue, everyone can agree this guy's an insufferable dick.
Oh, he's a douchebag.
You just watch these videos, you want to clock him.
Yeah, there's more than one.
Yeah,
this idiot.
Do you guys see that he got arrested at a Phillies game in 2009?
No!
For what? Yeah, it was the season
same
opener.
Deal?
Disorderly conduct, not blatant racism like he was caught in this video, but he was apparently...
Did he throw up on a kid?
No, he was just an illegal douchebag, essentially. He was harassing, and it was, disorderly conduct at
the
2009 game.
Why was he in Philly? They indicated he's from here or something?
Part of an exchange program in New York. We exchange douchebags every couple of months.
Who do we send to them?
Yeah. I'm part of the douchebag exchange program.
It's our reach out program.
We sent the guy who puked on the kid at the
just so everyone can get
it. Here you go, Mets fans.
Wow.
Yeah, so 2009, it was the season opener. It was right after they won the World Series, so maybe it was just an important game for him to be at or whatever. But, yeah, he got arrested for going ballistic on a female cop.
Oh, my God. All right, well, this guy that did the GoFundMe met his $500 goal in less than 24 hours before he canceled the campaign. And he updated the page later with a $224 payment to a mariachi band.
When Nick and
that's what I have in the bizarre file.
Oh, sorry. Nick and I were leaving the MMRBQ on Saturday night, and there was a guy who was being there were police officers in the parking lot, and there was this guy. He was hammered, and he's like yelling at the cops, right? And you just hear somebody go, "Kyle, you're not being arrested," right? So, like, this guy is so drunk, and I guess he thought he was being arrested, so he just, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And I think it was a cop that said, "Kyle, you are not being arrested.
Calm down.
Calm down."
Yeah.
Marissa and I saw, I don't know if it was the same guy or not, but, I mean, like, 5-6 men carrying somebody out of the MMRBQ, and he wasn't, like, really fighting them. So, like, same thing. He wasn't,
thank you.
They were just trying to help him.
All right, well, hold on to those stories. I think we need to talk about that next. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a second or two. Still a couple of guests on the program. We are going to have the guy who plays Chewbacca in the movie Solo in our studio this morning. He's going to be here around 9:30. His name is Junis Suotamo, and he'll be stopping by, as well as a guy named Fernando Velasco, who is with the Champions of Magic. So a few things coming up that you want to stick around for. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So it happened. It was Saturday. It was the 50th birthday official party of MMR with our MMRBQ. And a little soggier than we had liked, but not a steady downpour all day long. So at least we got by on that.
You're right. And I think we were talking, Preston, early on, the you just assume it's going to rain, as most people did. Mm-hmm. And they came prepped with some super cool rain gear. When I pulled into the lot, the tailgating included fully enclosed tents and parties going on. And everyone just said, well, we soldier on. As you said, though, it wasn't a dry... Because when I woke up Saturday morning, I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a disaster.
It didn't stop. It would get heavy and then back off. You're like, okay, here it comes. And then we get heavy again.
Right.
And it was like, oh, no.
Yeah, but the morning was terrible.
But the afternoon was workable.
And I think after general admission, I don't think that it rained like that, or at least downpour. It might have been drizzled, you know, but I think the people were okay out on the lawn for the most part.
Yeah. I had a great time.
Yeah, so did I. I left there feeling like, man, that was, we're there to give you a good time. You support, you know, MMR, and it's all part of the deal. But it's wonderful for us on another level that, you know, because we get to see you and hang out with you and shake hands and thank you for listening to the show. But ultimately, it just felt effortless. It was like being hanging with friends. It was so good.
Yeah. I was, when I first got there, I went and hung out at the Metro PCS tent for a little while, and you know, people came up and got pictures, but they were all getting free T-shirts as well.
Yeah,
which is like a really, really cool thing.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah, and those the businesses and then the little kiosks and everything that was around, they were all hopping. It was really yeah. great.
I thought. Somebody's going to say it. Kathy and Marissa looked amazing.
They did. My God, yes.
Thanks.
Yes. I did Kathy's makeup, and I was worried, but I did well, I think, right? I did a good job.
You did, yes. I appreciate your help.
I thought it had been professionally done. I mean,
I know. We didn't want to say anything for fear that it didn't come out right.
No, because I follow Kathy on social media, and you posted something about getting your hair done ahead of time, and your hair looked incredible. But when you showed up, I thought you'd done your makeup, or somebody had done your makeup as well, because you look like a million bucks.
Guilty.
I can make myself look nice sometimes.
Don't you feel like a kind of a slob around them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every day. I mean, a concert to me is not a let's get really dressed up event.
Yeah,
and I actually kind of dressed down. It's just
no,
normal.
You just
I dressed up.
You did dress up.
You looked
Casey
good
dressed
too,
up.
Casey.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got
I was
like,
proud of you.
I got like this fashion advice from this chick named Elisa. You guys might know her.
Yeah.
And so I went to TJ Maxx on Saturday and I bought myself a little outfit.
It looked good.
You went to TJ. It's a new place called TJ Maxx upstairs.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. But I actually had said the same thing about Marissa's makeup. I was asking her if she had
Marissa
somebody
looked
do
great.
Her makeup. She did it herself.
Marissa had a sort of a like
Billy Jack
meets 60s hippie chick thing going on, mm-hmm. and it all worked. Very stylish and lovely.
Listen, when we first got there, Marissa's like, hey, let's take a picture before our outfits get ruined. I'm like, okay. And as we were taking a picture, I just hear Preston go, who are those two?
Yeah. Who are those chicks over there? Well, when you first came walking in, I was on the other side of the door. I just go, whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, what? What is this?
Yeah.
Why do you look like that?
Yeah, why do you look like
Who
that?
Who are you?
I follow you on social media as well, Kathy. And you had posted something about, well, it's going to rain, so that completely changes, you know, my wardrobe.
The outfit
that you're going to wear. I was so mad because I bought new sunglasses that I couldn't wait to wear at the barbecue. And I'm like, yeah. They just stayed in my car.
I went long sleeves because I was like, you know.
Me too.
I was like, it's cold enough for not cold, but, you know, wind starts whipping down the boardwalk and it can be a little chilly.
I know. I had a shirt that I would have preferred to have worn that was short sleeve.
And
I ended up popping on a pretty boring long sleeve shirt because it was cold.
Mine said Woodstock, like the Rock Festival.
I noticed.
I thought, oh Jesus, this looks so lame, but it's my most comfortable shirt. Like that.
So I got to watch Ghost with Bill Weston.
Tell. Okay, you and Bill watched it together.
Bill and I watched it together. Yes, right.
Was Bill up on your shoulders?
Yeah, I picked him up at one point because he couldn't see. Yeah. You know, the tall kids.
Can't see.
In front of us.
Damn it!
No, it was funny. I started out on the side of the stage to watch them because I saw the stage, took a picture of it ahead of time, and it was crazy. It was not something that I would normally be into, but I wanted to see. I was interested in seeing it, and then I went down into the pit where I found Bill. And watched with him.
Oh, my God. You should have taken your mom. Or your mom would have had a heart attack.
You know what? I put a picture up on social media, on Instagram, and I wanted to say my mom would not approve of this. And I forgot to put that.
Like a big upside-down cross or something?
And I see in the audience, Mother Antichrist, join me on stage.
No! I swear, the whole time I was watching, I really was thinking, I was like, my mom would not like that I'm even here right now.
I've now watched Dorothy from the Lawn, which was awesome, and I heard afterwards that she wasn't feeling so hot on Saturday.
Really? Yeah, she had a fever.
Did she really?
I couldn't tell either.
And this was coming after her performance in studio a week or two ago where she sounded incredible at 9 or whatever it was in the morning. And I thought she sounded awesome. And their whole band.
People were freaking out
so
how good they sound.
And it was kind of a back-to-back sort of blues band because it was her and then Record Company. And I really like both those bands a lot. And Record Company sounded awesome as well.
I'm looking at a text here, and it says, where was Casey when everyone else was on stage to bring on Stone Temple Pilots?
What I was doing is I was setting up a little area right by the side stage for somebody to trip over.
Nice deflection.
Yes.
Nice deflection.
So did it work?
It worked.
Oh,
yes.
It did? Somebody did trip and fall?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Who?
Yeah, it was Marissa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As we were coming off stage with the announcement.
I felt so bad. She went down and like, that's just, you don't ever want that to happen.
Well,
ever.
She was about 75% off stage.
Yes, thankfully.
So if you're going to do it. You were obscured from a lot of the people watching.
Yeah.
So,
yep. But
so first,
a few saw it.
Yeah.
And listen, if anybody would have appreciated somebody falling,
it would have been
Marissa.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh, exactly.
Uh-huh. No, Casey was getting a massage.
I was so mad.
Were you?
Yes.
That's where you were?
Swear to God. There's a massage therapist that is backstage for any band members or anybody who wants to. It's like $1 a minute, and you can go back and get a quick rub.
It's Casey, a discount if you're supposed to be on stage making announcements.
Casey decided to do it right at the time when we were scheduled to be on stage doing a countdown, which, by the way, was on the minute that we went out on stage.
Wasn't anticipating that.
Yeah, and we were only told like 100 times what time to be there, so...
I know. Well, listen, I went at, what time did you guys do your stage announcement?
7:20.
7:20.
On the dot.
6:50 is when I started, and I told the lady, I go, I got 15 minutes, right? And she talks, you know, Karen, she just talks and talks. Yeah, and she talks. But also, so she was talking a lot, and then she started on my feet, and I went into like a time travel,
yeah.
Like I had no concept of anything. And then Chuck came and knocked on the door,
mm-hmm.
and I missed you guys by about
Mr. Casey?
A minute. Yeah.
Mr. Casey?
Yeah.
You're due on stage.
I saw Casey and he's like, I missed it, didn't I?
We took a picture
and everything.
Oh, yeah, and that's like what we wait around for, is that...
Well, in my defense, I had actually...
You were getting a massage.
No. I had signed up earlier for like a 5:30 time.
Right.
And then somebody from Ghost took my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karen called me. She's like, I'm ready for you right now. I'm like, okay. All right. I can do this. I can totally do this.
Mm. Yeah. How do you massage a ghost? Don't your hands just go right through?
And then somebody walked in. Was there somebody backstage who wasn't supposed to be backstage?
I think there were lots of people backstage.
Okay, yeah, because like somebody came and opened the door, and they were like, oh, sorry. And then security came to the door looking for that person.
All right.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
No, otherwise, though, between managing the weather, between the whole thing, and the way, you know, from Eric Simon to Bill Weston to Rodney and engineering, It just flowed, man. It felt great.
I saw more of the show than I normally see.
Really?
Because of my awesome, badass earplugs that I have that allow me to actually hear some of it, which is great. I went out for the record company. They were great.
Yeah.
They had this really cool Delta blues / rock sound, and they were fantastic. I went out, and I just did this because I had some free time, because we, believe it or not, we do have some commitments while we're there, meeting with clients and so on, and doing some appearances and things. But I just said, Jonathan Davis happened to be on. I'm like, okay. And I'm not really a big Korn fan. So I went out there and sat down. Freaking awesome.
That's great.
I loved it. Their drummer, this guy, Ray Luzier, who is actually the drummer for Korn as well, I was transfixed. The guy is unbelievable. And it was a unique setup because for bass, the guy was playing an acoustic stand-up bass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a violinist and a keyboardist. And it was just a really unique thing. And Jonathan was having a lot of fun. And I didn't know any of the material because it's a brand new chunk of music that he has out that he hasn't really released, just one song and that's it. And so he was only playing that, not Korn music. And I was very, very impressed.
I saw you backstage lavishing praise on the guy. He couldn't have been more cordial and thankful that you were doing that.
Yeah, he was really cool.
Yeah, I heard you say to him that you couldn't look at anybody else. You were transfixed on what he was doing while up on stage. Yeah, yeah. And that was it was impressive, man.
He did not expect, though, that deep kiss that you gave this.
Couldn't help it. I felt something. I went with it.
If I let this moment pass.
And I don't apologize. and then I watched some of Stone Temple Pilots. And Jeff Gutt sounds great.
That perfect.
He sounded great. Yeah. And I thought their set was fantastic. I caught just part of it. I caught like three or four songs. And in fact, Robert got on the mic and gave a little shout out to the radio station. So I'll play a little of that.
You know, this is Dean and I. This is our home state right here in New Jersey. And it's really a pleasure to see you all. And we're all here celebrating the 50th anniversary of WMMR. Pretty amazing, and rock radio to be doing that, and it was something that we grew up on as kids in New Jersey, so we're so happy to be here for the radio station and for all of you. Thank you.
That was cool.
Excellent.
Nice little shout out to the 50th.
And that vibe was pervasive throughout the whole festival.
Here's Ghost, apparently. Tobias, I guess. What's he going by now? It's not Papa Amatrice.
Cardinal.
Papa Smurf.
Cardinal Richelieu or something?
Richelieu?
No, I forget.
Cardinal Kroll.
Bishop Desmond Tutu.
Desmond Tutu, yeah.
Bishop Desmond Tutu.
No. So here's that. I haven't heard this yet.
How do you want to be addressed, by the way? Is it Philly or what? Are you guys from Philadelphia? Or are you from New Jersey? A little bit of both, then. I see. Well...
Cardinal Copia, by the way.
Yes. Is what he goes
okay. By. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'll just call you Camden, okay?
I'm not trying to be mean.
Okay. You're fine with that? Great. Okay, I hope you've had a good barbecue so far.
I love that.
That sounds very demonic.
Yeah. Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. You know, I hope you enjoy the barbecue.
I hope you've had a good barbecue so far. Yeah. After later, I'll be making love to your various mothers.
And watch the ladies make a toilet. Yeah.
I go down to watch the ladies make toilet.
It is very, it's very Borat, isn't it?
And it just, when he was speaking on up there, I was like, this doesn't match what's behind him and what's next to him.
Well, do you remember when we've had Hal Sparkson before, he talked about some Swedish over-the-top metal band, and he's like, and then the moment we played this song, Phil, thank you for being here tonight.
In the darkness of hell, time has come to take you away.
Thank you very much, Camden. How do you want to be addressed, by the way? Is it Philly or what?
Is it Philly or what?
Are you guys from Philadelphia?
I like you guys.
You are funny guys.
Do you know what tastes very good? The cotton candy. It's multicolor.
All right, and here's the record company.
Here, I'll go back to the beginning.
I like you guys. You're funny guys.
Hey, right. This girl right up here looks like Billy Jack.
Here's the record company.
I want to thank our good friends Pierre Robert, Bill Weston, and all the people at MMR that gave us a shot.
Bill
getting a shout.
The Silver Pony.
Want to thank all the renegades and rebels who say, that when people say rock and roll is dead, and they continue to listen. In 2018. I ain't talking about just our music. I'm talking about all of that. That helps. We appreciate it. We'll swing this thing back in the right direction if it comes. We all stick together. You know what I mean?
I like these guys.
Do you mind if I come on stage with you guys?
This is the first song they ever played for us.
I brought donuts for everyone.
He just sneaks out on stage in his demonic makeup. And hey.
Why?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
This is the first song they ever played for us over there at MMR. We're really happy they did. It changed a lot for us, so thank you guys.
Hey, guys, they got water back there.
Is this just a little bit of the song? Or? Yeah. I thought they sounded great. I like the record company, man. Solid band. And a fun little moment took place backstage, so... is this the whole setup and everything, Marissa, with Stone Temple Pilots? So Dean and Robert DeLeo came back to talk to Pierre. Pierre's an old friend of theirs. They brought him up on stage before and all kinds of great things happened. Longtime fans of MMR, as you heard for the shout-out. But we had had Dean DeLeo on the show a few weeks back, and we didn't know who was going to be on. It was a satellite feed that we got, audio-wise, and we just knew it was going to be one of the DeLeo brothers. So leading up to it, I had said, who do you guys think it's going to be? Is it going to be Dean or is it going to be Robert? We took votes. And let me see if this is where this picks up or not.
I said, which DeLeo brother is it? And he says, it's Charles Nelson Reilly. And
I didn't quite say it like that.
What did you say?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
For those younger listeners, Charles Nelson Reilly was a character actor from the 50s and 60s, and he was always on Bewitched and shows like that. And
Match Game.
Yeah. Actually,
I always wondered what he really did.
So, Dean, right after that, I immediately did some digging around.
Goodness.
And I found something that I would like to present from all of us to all of you. And this is coveted. And you don't have to wear it tonight, but it would be awesome if you did. But this is your own Charles Nelson Reilly T-shirt. Dean DeLeo, I present that to you.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that awesome? Vibrant colors.
With a pipe.
Get over here, brother.
Oh, my God.
And he grabbed me and gave me a big hug. Awesome. And so I go over and he said it was the greatest shirt he's ever gotten.
Dean is giving.
That is truly spectacular. Hug. I just have to say one thing. Where the hell is mine?
Robert is disappointed, as brothers might be at Christmas.
It's incredible.
Man, you did some digging. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So
for people who don't know, but you probably know him. He was on the show Lidsville. I think Pierre might have been thinking of Paul Lynn from Bewitched, but he was
So I'd gotten that weeks ago.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. I had it ready to go because the day after we got off that interview, Pierre had told me how much he thought that he enjoyed that.
Oh, it's great.
So I got that for him, and hopefully he'll wear it at some time. So. But how about the rest of the evening? Anything else you guys want to share from that? I saw a chick puking in a trash can in the parking lot.
Hey, I didn't see any puking. Yeah. A dude dropped a beer. You know, it's funny. It's like, you know, you drop a beer, a can of beer, and, you know, it like just blows right up because it landed on the base.
Yep.
And it blew up. And the guy was like, it went off of my pants. But I was like, it happens. You would have thought the guy had stabbed me. I'm like, calm down. But that was about as messy as it got for me. I didn't see any puking. I didn't see any.
I found a miniature bottle of Crown Royal.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was it full?
Took that. Yeah.
All right.
It was sealed. I took that thing. You know what? And it dropped. It was sitting on the floor, and I picked it up, and a kid was there, and I didn't know how old he was.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, dude, can I have that? And I'm looking at him like,
no.
Oh, man, I'm not going to card you, so I stuck it in my pocket. So I didn't know if he was over 21 or not.
I saw a kid vaping. He was 14 years old. He was with his parents.
Yeah.
I was like,
dude. Yeah.
All right.
Nick Murphy saw a guy throw up on his kilt.
Oh, man.
Oh, is that kilt dude? The guy who always comes out to concerts and is killed?
You'd have to ask Nick Murphy. I don't know. I'm looking at this post, so who knows?
All we know is he had a kilt on.
Well, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, it happens with the kilt. It was, overall, it was great. No complaints.
I just saw the one guy being carried out, and he wasn't fighting, so I don't know if and it didn't look like they were, like, rushing him out, like he needed an ambulance or anything like that, so I don't know.
You know what? I'm glad this text came in, because it just reminded me, record company ended their set with Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
I didn't know.
And that was phenomenal, yeah. And I'd forgotten it until just now, but it sounded really good. When I first heard it, I thought that their set had ended already and Sabotage was playing on the PA because it sounded like the Beastie Boys. So they're awesome live, record company.
What was the performance? Because you got to see a couple. Which was it? Was it Jonathan Davis? Who stood out to you the most?
Well, I was just so blown away by Ray, the drummer, that was the one that really, I thought was pretty damn awesome. And like I said, you know, we only get to see so much of it, but I saw STP do Vaseline.
Yeah.
And they started playing. What were they playing when I was on my way out? But it was kind of a deeper cut, which I thought was pretty cool. And I can't remember what it was. But they were great. They're always great. They're just like, they're one of those bands that just brings the sound every single time. And it sounds like the record.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And Jeff Gutt was a nice addition to the group. And I think he fit right in.
What time did Ghost actually take stage?
They were supposed to go on at 8, remember. I think.
Did they go on? I mean,
no, maybe
the sun wasn't all the way down, though, was it?
I don't know.
It was after STP, and STP went on at 7:25.
Okay.
So it must have been closer to like 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah, I think maybe not when they first started, but yeah, it was pretty dark for most of their show. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had to leave during STP because it was my niece's graduation party. And so
you had a lot of graduations this weekend, too. Rained out.
And well, they had a tent set up in the backyard, but you know, as it was all going, you know, raining all morning long, I was like, oh my God, like this is just, you know, with the concert and all the graduation parties and all that stuff, I felt bad, but at least it slowed down and stopped for a lot of the day.
Dude, what was Jeff Gordon from Live Nation talking about snatching the pebble from his hand or something? What were you guys, you brought me in that conversation, he's looking at me saying something, dude, what the F are you talking
about? Do
you know
what it's based on? Remember when he called in to talk about the crazy ex?
Yeah.
And he was saying that you know, no matter how hot a woman is or whatever you think is going to be wonderful, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So that was the wisdom he was dispensing.
Oh, okay. So yes. It was about snatching a pebble out of his hand.
That I don't know.
Isn't that like a martial arts thing?
Well, from Kung Fu. Yeah. And I was just like, All right, dude, thanks. I gotta go announce Stone Temple Pilots.
I followed your lead and kept walking.
We love Jeff. Him and Jim Sutcliffe and the rest of the crew at Live Nation are wonderful in helping put that whole thing together.
And Steve, earlier you mentioned Eric Simon and Rodney from engineering, of course, for doing an incredible job. Todd DeFeo as well. But I saw the guys in sales, Jim Antes and Bill Burns, literally moving food around backstage.
They were clearing out stuff at the end of the evening.
Yeah, so we had a catering area, and those guys were doing the heavy lifting. So thanks to those guys. And it was a really fun day.
As I was walking out the door, Bill Burns turns to me and goes, "You want 30 hamburgers?" It was like,
yes. Yeah.
It's like a stack of frozen. I said, "No, well, I really, I'm good."
Yeah. When I first saw Jackie Bam Bam back in that little catering area. There is a scene in Hotel Transylvania where the Dracula is kind of like yelling at the kid.
Yeah.
And it's a close-up. And then when they pull back, what you actually see is the kid completely bent over like he's limbo. Yeah. And Dracula's in it. And that's what Jackie... Because he's like an entire foot taller than me.
The proper term is he looms over you.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he was doing. I saw Jackie. He was in the pavilion because of the rain. He wasn't up on the deck spinning. So... and I just wanted to say hi, and that's all, because I was going to go into the venue and some of the show because I had a moment and then I had to get back because we had to meet some people. And so I tugged at him a little bit because he was up above on this riser. I'm like, "Hey, dude." And he grabs the mic and he goes, "Everybody, it's Preston Elliott from the Preston and Steve Show right over here right now." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, that's right. I want to go watch some of the show."
Oh, my God.
Which is great. I got to meet more people.
It's classic,
and it was cool,
Jackie.
And everything. But I just needed to get from A to B for a moment.
You know what, though? It was kind of fun having it under one roof and having him in there. I mean, listen, if he could have been outside and things have been a little bit more, acceptable condition-wise. But it was a really good energy in there.
Yeah, so because Jackie is at a different time slot now, he does 7 to midnight, I don't see him as much as I used to. So when I saw him on Saturday, it was like... when you come home from work and your dog sees you and you've been gone for hours he was like talking to me. He's like, "Dude, we got," his nose was up against my cheek.
Casey just put his nose on my face. I know. He loves you. Did he kiss you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he totally kissed
me. There was more space between the face hugger and alien.
Yep. Than Casey and
he had a cool hat
Jackie.
On, though.
He did.
He would a mummer's hat.
Yeah, he looked great, too. And I love you as well, Casey, and I wanted to thank you publicly because you came to Big Climb Philly, which was so kind of you to give up your morning and time. And so I wanted to give a plug to that because Big Climb Philly was Saturday morning, so we did that and then went over to Emma Barbecue, but it was a success. We raised the amount of money that we were trying to raise, and so thanks to everybody who was able to come out and make it a part of their day and climb 46 flights of stairs. Casey made it to the top. I made it to the top, and
your son made it to the top.
My son made it to the top. Yeah.
And listen, also at the MM Barbecue, we were able to make that official announcement, which I had reiterated earlier this morning. But we're having all these shows that are in the umbrella of the MMR birthday concerts, and the one that we're calling the 50th finale. We were able to announce at the MM Barbecue, and it's going to be Thursday, October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center, and it's Metallica.
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale Friday, June 1st, noon via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com, and both Lars and Robert Trillo made a video.
Yes.
And this is the audio from that video.
"Hey, Philadelphia, 93.3 WMMR is turning 50 years old."
That's right, and we are coming back to Philly one more time to celebrate with you guys on October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center.
Happy 50th, WMMR.
That's right. See you.
There you go. So that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Or there might be a chance that somebody from the band might be calling in to the station at some point today to talk about that.
So we'll it's a big announcement. We're thrilled.
So that's really cool. And you saw social media light up right after that announcement took place on stage. So... a lot more to come, man. But thanks to everybody who was at MM Barbecue this year. We appreciate you you coming year after year and dealing with the less than perfect weather, but it wasn't horrible.
No.
And that's why I do love the fact that the first half of the show you can watch from the pavilion, no matter where your seats are. So during the full-on rain, everybody was covered up.
Mm-hmm. It was good, yeah.
It was cool. So we were excited, and thanks to our engineering staff and promotion staff, Eric Simon and the staff and promotions, just, I mean, they bust their asses. So do Rodney and everybody in production. We got to see our old friend Lush.
Yes.
As well, Steve Lushbaugh.
Doing production, yeah.
Station, who was back recording everything. So great job done by all. So thank you guys for being yes. there.
And now the Keenans.
Now to Keenan's.
Yes. We head to Keenan's Irish Pub in North Wildwood this Friday. I can't believe I just said that.
That's how we rest after a big celebration. We go to another major live broadcast.
So we're all set for it, and I've had many people chat with me, but we're not the only ones who are out and about. Everybody, you know, the entire staff was busy on Saturday. We're going to be busy again on Friday. So, like I said, we'll be at Keenan's North Wildwood with Coors Light. That starts at 6 a.m., then Pierre will be live from Margaritaville in AC, and he'll be there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., obviously, for his regular shift. And then we pull it back to North Wildwood, and Jackson will be broadcasting from the Inlet on Old, and that'll be from 3 to 7 p.m., and Victory Brewing is going to be there, and the Summer Views Beachfront Bash is going to be taking place.
So with the weather, the way it's looking and everything, you know, as perfect. Wonderful as it's looking, you have an entire day where you can spend with us, and we'd love to see you out there.
Yes, sir, but get there early.
Yes.
Get there early, 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 early.
I mean,
if you want to be in the room that we're in, there's plenty of room at Keenan's altogether, and it always amazes us that... you know, about halfway through the broadcast, if we've got a minute, I might trickle over to the outdoor portion, and it's mobs.
It is.
I'm like, oh, my God.
We're totally oblivious.
There's a whole other 1,000 people over there.
The entire block. Yeah. When you show up, so we're showing up at like 5, a quarter to 5 in the morning. It's already a line.
Yep.
I mean, it's always like that.
Don't miss it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment or two. More guests are on the way, including the new Chewbacca from the movie Solo. You know what? Let me give away the last movie passes that I have for that screening. Which is tonight, by the way, at the UA King of Prussia, 7 o'clock. Need to be there by 6:30. So I got three of them left. Three pairs of tickets, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. And Star Wars, Solo, A Star Wars Story, is going to be hitting theaters everywhere on the 25th. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I had mentioned to you guys that something special might happen today on MMR, and I did not know when this may happen, but we made the announcement at the MMRBQ that MMR's 50th finale concert is going to be on Thursday, October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center, and it will indeed be with Metallica.
Blew our minds.
Yeah, so that's a huge deal, and I had said that... somebody might be getting in touch with the radio station today, and it looks like it's happened on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Metallica, Lars Ulrich.
Yeah!
This morning, Lars.
Happy birthday, guys.
Hey, man, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, you know what? I have a quick question. I apologize. I've heard your name pronounced a couple of different ways, Ulrich or Ulrich. Which way do you prefer?
Well, if it's in Danish terms, it would be Ulrich.
Ulrich, yes. Okay, so like a K on the end.
A couple cocktails, and you really don't care, and you're just Ulrich. I've heard many things, but it's Ulrich.
All right.
Be a, yeah.
Then okay. Then we've been right for all these years, but sometimes you get chastised for mispronouncing. You know, there are a lot of very, very passionate Metallica fans who are sure they have the right pronunciation. So we feel vindicated. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember coming down there playing in the freaking parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That was many, many, many years ago.
Yeah, it was 15 years ago, 12 years ago. It's all blur, but I just remember.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, Lars. When the word went up about this, you know, and obviously we're having our our MMRBQ, and everyone was on a high, and then it immediately popped up, and you could almost hear a collective, "Dear God!" The video has been passed around of you, and it's making the rounds. People are just ecstatic about this, but I know you guys are big supporters of. You know, this is a rock station that's been an active rock station for 50 years. And I know that there's been a great relationship between you and this station over the years. What does it mean to have a rock station like MMR in your history?
Well, I can tell you this. We're a dying breed.
Yeah.
So to have guys like you that can actually play the newer bands and guys like us and keep us alive. It feeds the kids. It keeps things going. There's only so much Katy Perry can listen to.
That is true.
No disrespect to her, but Jay-Z, all these guys, hey, my hat's off to you, but I do feel where we're at in life. There's going to be a new Metallica coming soon.
Yeah.
It's the trend. You got the 80s. Is a frustration. There's such a frustration. We're going to need you guys to launch guys like that. And we're hopped up about that. And
that's awesome.
Maybe we could come in studio and tear things up.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. We love that.
We've got Brewer's going to be doing this whole opening thing that's going to be Madness 2 that people should know about. And I've got Jim here, too.
Oh,
he crashed in my San Fran place last night.
Oh, really?
Is this Brewer?
He says he knows you guys.
Yeah, I thought so.
Is he?
Hold on a second.
Okay. Did you get Jim?
You dummy.
You son of a bitch.
I knew it.
You got us.
I knew from the moment we picked up the phone.
Look at the fish I got.
You know what?
Bang, boom, bang.
That was great.
My heart was breaking because you were like, so tell me, what does it mean? They're like, oh no, he's in deep. How am I going to crush
him? You know what?
Dude, I'm sending text messages going, I actually thought this was Craig Gass.
That's what I'm like,
Craig is deaf, so he's got more of
I hate to admit I was in on this. Bill Weston set this up because Jim Brewer is opening for Metallica.
No, we knew that. Yeah.
But now let me explain that. Let me explain that. Because everyone, they say opening, and I'm not doing stand-up.
Okay.
I'll be doing stand-up a different date, but what I will be doing with Metallica is...
is your band playing? Are you playing?
No. Put it this way. Think of it as the biggest rock game show in history.
And
it starts from the parking lot on, where I'm going to be hunting people down, creating events in the arena, and every event you win... Or potentially win is going to have sick prizes from being moved to on stage to meeting the band to walking backstage all live with the cameras and stuff.
So you'll have the cameras and they'll be putting them up on the screens for people to see in the building. I love it. I've never heard of that being done before.
No, they didn't. And I talked to Lars, dude. You want to talk about rock star stuff?
Yeah.
Lars, like, bring him out to Switzerland. I want to talk to him about this thing.
It's so spot on.
So I fly out there for 15 minutes. It was like sitting with a king. He's just like, so basically the world is your oyster. Unfortunately, he goes, this is what's brilliant about them that no one knows about Metallica. This is all their idea. They're like, you know, it's a bummer. He goes, it's a bummer that no matter who we put in front of us, people don't go see them. So it's a bummer for the bands. It's a bummer for us. I'd love to keep spawning off bands, but at the end, no one cares. So we want you to create this big event, get people in there, and just do what you want. I'm like, how far and wide do I have with this? I mean, can I bring trapeze artists? Can I?
Right.
But at the end, they want an experience for the fans from the minute they walked through the door, and I went,
get one of the things I got. Do Rise or Die Karaoke. It's going to be, and we have a DJ.
Rise or Die Karaoke. So the edict, just so we, so in other cases where you might not show up early and you figure, okay, you just blow off if there's a band, this would be, work against you if you don't show up early and take advantage of what's going on.
Correct. So if you, and the earlier, the better, like Rise or Die Karaoke. You know, you're going to
explain.
Have, I'm going to pick you out if you really want to do it. You got 1 minute. 1 minute on the stage that Metallica is going to be on to pull this off. In 1 minute, I'm going to hold the crowd off. When they're done, you chant "Rise," make it to the next round, or "Die." Don't sit down.
Wow.
Now, the grand winner. What I can't officially say, but it could be something like this. You're the grand winner. Now we're going to walk you live all the way back to the jam room right before they come up, and wow, you get to personally sit down with them for 50 minutes. Man. I'm going to have representatives from sections in the game show. Dude, this thing is going to be – and if you show up late, I'm going to have the crowd chanting.
So the kind of stuff you could win, the kind of opportunities you could win by showing up and participating in the game show are experiential things like that.
Yes. Either – I mean, from the lowest of low merchandise and from the big, you're backstage, you're meeting the guys all that night. It's not like, hey, in 3 weeks. No, I'm going to walk you right now. If you're in the nosebleeds, I'm going to give you a chance to go all the way down to the stage.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Fantastic. Now, we know you are a massive Metallica fan.
Yes.
Yes. So on this level, might you at any point during the show join them on stage? I mean, I know they're the fans of yours, obviously.
I'll put it this way. I highly doubt it.
they keep it pretty pure on stage.
I know.
Although Rob's going to kill me right now, Rob and Kirk, I think they need some help in that section.
In the rhythm section?
No. Not as musicians.
Yeah.
They were doing this thing in everyone's busting my chest. They were doing this thing in Europe where they would – it was kind of smart. They would find out great artists, no matter what they did,
from that
opera
area
to jazz, from that area.
Yeah.
And they would do it. And I just keep watching Rob singing – because Rob's not a good singer. Here you go. What the hell is that song?
Oh, take a hot take on me?
Yeah. Take
on
me. Dude, let me help you out here.
They were playing songs from whatever city they were in. They played a song that was known, at least, or at least associated with that area or that city. I would say the aha portion was a bit of a letdown.
It was a little rough. It sounded like a late night karaoke for Rob.
Right.
But Rob puts it out there. He's not a singer. But the fact that what they're doing everything they can to enhance the crowd's experience. I mean, and I try to tell them, you're Metallica.
Yeah.
People are coming no matter what. But they, this is what people don't know about them. They constantly want to make it even better just for the fans. And I think that's the coolest thing in the world.
So this is really cool. And so we got this going on. We got You Before, which is going to be an experience. You know, even the most consistent Metallica concert goer will not have seen anything like this. We know this is going to sell out quickly, but this is awesome that this is the way it's being wrapped up. It's very cool.
Are you going to be hanging out there? I hope you are.
It's our event. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, so just so I know, and we're promoting this and hitting this, what are you calling your experience? Does it have an official name to it?
Yeah, the pre-lighted up party.
Pre-lighted up party.
All right, I'm going to jot that down and make sure that we hit that, because that you don't want to miss out on that, man. That's... You normally don't get up.
No, you don't.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm meeting with the manager today. Lily's right after hang up, and we're going over what they're willing to go so far in production. Where I want to do, and I told them they're really into it. I just got to figure out how it's going to work from the parking lot. Remember Soul Train?
Yes.
I want to do the Metallica train. And the person that wins the Metallica, could be a kid, could be a mom, whatever it is, whoever wins that, from that moment, I'm going to walk you right from there, from the parking lot,
and then we'll do a full backstage tour.
Sweet.
And if the guys are there, they're there.
Yeah.
You'll meet everyone from production to the lighting crew to their dressing rooms,
yeah,
the whole shebigo.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
No, it's awesome.
It's fantastic. You can't pay for stuff like that. I love it, man. Sweet, dude. All right. Well, listen, we're all set. We're gonna kill it. And we love that you're a part of this. This is
it's
huge.
Great.
Philadelphia is a Jim Brewer town.
Yes,
man. They love you.
And this pains me to say it. How about them Phillies?
Yeah. Yeah. hopefully we get closer. Before the concert, we get you in the studio. If schedules work up, and sync up, and we'll hopefully talk more about just how phenomenally well they're doing. But this whole thing here is awesome.
Let's plan that. I don't know if we get in the night before. I do know I'm traveling with them, with the crew. So if I'm in Philly the day of, and that morning we find that I'd love to come in. We'll hang out. We'll talk more.
Cool.
You know, give giveaways, all that jazz.
Yes,
Philly rules, man. I love you guys, and I can't wait. You guys are going to have so much fun this Metallica.
Love
and
it.
They are tight.
Awesome.
Tight.
Awesome.
Excellent. All right, Jim Brewer, guys.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, my God.
He's so good. That's so spot on.
So that's why Bill wanted to talk to me on Friday. About Brewer calling.
Oh.
And being Lars. So that was Bill's idea, and Jim liked it, and so then,
okay.
So there you go.
It had to be Bill's idea because he's sandwiched between two guests.
I know. Yeah. And we have another guest, and we appreciate him for being very patient that happened. So anyhow, Jim Brewer's is coming up as a part of the Metallica party. Now, our next guest is part of Champions of Magic, which is in town Monday, May. It says May 21st.
No, it's not till June.
No, it's not till June. Okay,
it's ridiculous. I mean,
yeah, oh, he's here today. Is May 21st, yeah. So it's going on June 20th through the 24th, and it's at one of our favorite places, the Kimmel Center. Oh, that's a great song, Casey.
Yeah.
Magic Power. Please, I'll try not to butcher your name. We have Fernando Velasco, who is here this week.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Great. I'm very happy to be here today.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, and we appreciate it. We had to go to that because it was kind of
that's exciting.
A breaking announcement that we had.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
All right. So listen, you are an escapist. This is your area of expertise.
On this show, yes, I'm the escapologist in the show. So I do all the danger and bring a little bit of the drama into the show.
But you're escapist. Yes, it's very nice. But you have a full magician's skill set, but everyone sort of takes a different
correct. Theater. So I'm a magician, illusionist, and escape artist. But yes, on the show, there's five world-class magicians into one incredible show, and there's all kinds of magic. So we have the close-up specialist,
right,
the mentalist, the grand illusionist, and the escapologist.
So whatever you like, you're going to have it there.
That's
right. And all of them can wow you in certain ways, even with a close-up magic now, with the way it can be covered in any venue.
Correct. Yeah,
you'll get to catch it all.
Oh, it's incredible.
So of all of those, is being an escapologist your favorite?
Yes. Well, okay. This show, it's extremely exciting. I get to escape death every night, pretty much.
Right, right. give us. And then we were talking last week to David Blaine.
Oh, and, wow, yeah, that's
and,
nice.
And so, and obviously, it's just a love that he has of the illusions. You know, sometimes the ones that are the easiest to do wow the audience the most. What do you have? What do you like to go to that you know is always just a crowd pleaser as far as escapes?
I love to come into the audience and do. I choose a volunteer and I make a person from the audience float. So I get to levitate an audience member every night, and that's actually my favorite part of the show.
Oh, it's because it's a standard, but it still wows the hell out of people.
Exactly. It's something they always expect to see from a magic show. And I just, even though it's one of the classics, I love to do it. And it's really funny because right after that, I go into the jaws of death, Houdini's water torture cell.
Right.
But that is,
Can you escape a straitjacket?
Correct. I hang upside down on a straitjacket while hanging beneath this huge apparatus, their metal teeth called the jaws of death. The jaws are held open by a single rope at the top. The rope is set on fire. I have about 60 seconds to escape before the jaws close. So I must escape the straitjacket, release my feet, and drop clear before they close.
So I have to imagine you're a fan, or at least you're inspired by Houdini.
Of course.
Yeah.
Big time. I'm actually branching on and doing a new escape for the U.S. tour. And I'm doing Houdini's water torture cell. So that is the last trick known that Houdini performed. He died, you know, pretty much right after that trick.
Yeah, and a lot of in the movie they show him dying because of it, and he had been punched in the
yes,
but he died a while after. But that was correct. The last one that's that the last he was one known he, to have done. Yeah,
correct. So I'm preparing right now for that, and as a 20-year-old, that's kind of exciting.
This is very cool. Yeah, 20 years old, man. So you yes. you learned magic and all of this. You were in Mexico and
yeah,
came.
Actually, no. So I was. I don't know any magic, any English when I was 11.
Yeah.
And I lived in Mexico at 11. I moved to the U.S. And my dad, who works at the world-famous Magic Castle in Hollywood,
yes.
Was able to get me into the castle. And the moment I walked into the place, I was bitten by the bug.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically the comedy store for magicians.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you're going to be an escapologist, where do you begin? Where's a good place to start to learn
oh
how to do
God.
It?
Oh, my God. I wouldn't know, really. It just kind of happened. I started with card tricks, and next thing you know, I was challenging death.
That's a big leap.
Actually, pick
a card, I'm going to jump off this roof.
Yes, pretty much.
We actually have a straitjacket in our office.
We do? Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, we do. Hannibal Lecter's wearing a straitjacket. Right. How long? Like, how about I put a straitjacket on you and we give you a minute and I'll club you over the head with a bat? And because we don't have jaws of death.
I don't know if I can do that. No.
You have a light bulb in your hand. Can you escape from inside that?
No, I can't escape from a light bulb. That's something else. Oh. You know?
Okay. Right.
Is that an illusion you're going to do for us?
Well, if you just want to see and
sure, I'll do my best to describe to the radio audience here.
Okay. But. Yeah. Well, it's actually that. Something that they can hear and listen.
Oh.
But I don't know if you guys have heard. Oh, by the way, just let them know that this, in fact, the real light bulb.
And we do have a studio cam on, by the way.
Right, so yes.
No worries.
Oh, actual light bulb. It is a GE brand.
Yes. General Electric.
Very good.
That's right. So I'm going to take that light bulb and put it inside a plastic bag.
Why, a common baggie you might find around any
home. Well, actually, you want to check it out? It is very normal.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
There we go. And actually,
plastic bag,
we're going to put it in the bag because of our safety, all right?
Right.
You'll see what I mean by that in a few moments. But actually, I don't know, do you guys believe in being able to cause static electricity with your hands?
Yes.
You know, as a kid, we play with balloons and they would, you know, make our head go, hair go
yes.
up.
Like with a Van de Graaff generator, that's static electricity, yeah.
So very similar to that. Now, how about we make a human chain of electricity
right,
with everybody here?
So like a daisy chain.
Yes, if all of you just come close and then I'll put the light bulb.
Should we
right
all hold
here.
Hands?
Yes, just okay. Right. Or yep. But Fer, before you start joining hands, rub your hands together. So get some static electricity going.
We'll have just Casey and Nick and Kathy do this.
Yes, you guys will do it. Actually.
I'm sorry, Nick and Kathy and Steve. And
okay.
If you guys want to just try to get
keep going?
Somewhat close. Yes. And then start touching hands. Perfect.
Okay. Right. Oh, Kathy's warm.
And then slowly go ahead and touch the bottom of that light bulb right there. Go ahead slowly and.
Oh my God!
That's good. Whoa, I don't even know what that was.
Did you just get shocked?
Wow. It's something
I felt a
like
pop.
That. It felt like a pop. It did.
Yeah.
Wow, that probably does.
It was right when Nick touched it.
That's weird.
Pulling out the light bulb, but it seems to be just fine.
It seems to be fine, but wow. That was kind of scary, though.
Yeah,
it was a little scary. I didn't know if it was going to light up.
It's not what
happen.
I expected.
Yes, it's not what I expected either.
It lit up a little.
It did light up and then it exploded.
I don't know what it was. It almost sounded like it exploded. Yeah.
I know what happened. Kathy's wearing an underwire bra.
It
served as extra
and
conductor.
She finally busted it out of that thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So at the show, so you have everybody's has their specialty. They're featured. Are you guys going to be doing? Is it going to be one magician does one set, another magician does another set? Or are you guys interspersing throughout?
We are interspersing around the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's very fun. You know, if one of us will come out do 5-10 minutes, and then the next one will come on do 5-10 minutes, and we just kind of jump back and forth between all of us.
I love. We're all fans of magic, whether it be the close up or even the larger spectacle. So this is a. It's like a. We're trying to figure out what the hell happened there, right?
Yeah, can we try it again?
Sure,
try it again. Let's see.
Rub hands again.
Rub hands again. Right. Okay. Let's really focus this time, all right?
Let's focus.
Let's just focus.
All right.
Spit on
Steve,
your hands.
How about
first.
You want an Eiffel Tower?
Yes.
Okay.
Eiffel Tower. All right.
Okay. So they're rubbing their hands.
All right. Then just. All right. Go ahead now. That'll be good. That'll be good.
And then hold hands.
Come and touch the bottom.
All right.
Oh, dude.
Dude, I was so far away.
That time it shattered it.
Whoa.
I am like,
God. It blew up in the bag.
Yes, now you know where we had that bag.
Yeah. Man, that's a good thing I didn't
now,
touch it.
That was a lot. Wow. Yeah.
Well, no, that
shocked
me.
Now, Nick has a pacemaker. Does that could that have caused an issue?
You know, maybe, because he was beginning to get close when that exploded.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. He was getting closer.
Wow. I was looking at it pretty intently.
The same thing happens with his flashlight.
Yeah. Right? Stop it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. All right, so more of that, like exploding bulbs and you over jaws of death and all that stuff.
Yes, escapes, mentalism, grand illusions.
I love it.
It's
exciting. And you know, the accent's very cool, too. I think it works very well.
Thank you.
It gives you that very, it's very cool stage presence.
I'm Mexican.
So the Champions of Magic is June 20th through the 24th, and that's at the Merriam Theater, which is a wonderful place. And are tickets on sale now? Do we happen to know?
Yeah. Okay, they've got on sale today?
Yes. They are on sale already.
Kimmelcenter.org is where you can get. And since you guys will be in for a stretch, that's cool. You'll be able to have some time, check out Philadelphia, and enjoy your time while you're
there. Yes, I ran the Rocky steps yesterday.
You did? Yeah.
You done it.
Oh, my God. It was exciting.
Can you make the Rocky statue come to life?
Oh, my. I wish. I wish.
That'd be awesome. Nice. All right, Fernando, thank you so much for coming by here
today.
Thank
you guys for having me.
Enjoy your time when the show comes around.
Thank you. I'll see you guys.
Fernando Velasco on the Preston and Steve Show. All right, with that, we are going to take a break, come back in a second. We have another guest who is checking in, and that will be the gentleman who is actually going to portray or has portrayed Chewbacca in the new Solo, a Star Wars story film.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! Win your way in, on the air with Pierre, or at Ticket Raids. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Well, Star Wars fanatics are going to freak out when we bring our next guest on the program because he's been in the last few Star Wars films that have been out. Not only Solo, which is a Star Wars story, which is out now, Star Wars The Last Jedi, or at least we have a screening tonight.
Yes.
Star Wars The Force Awakens. And Casey has nicknamed him Nubaka.
Yes.
Instead of Chewbacca, the Nubaka. But he's actually been at it for a while, and I'm going to do my best with his name. He instructed me properly on how to say this, but Jonas. Close?
Jonas.
Now, the last name, forget it, man. Suotamo?
Suotamo.
Hey, Jonas. Okay.
One for one. There you go.
How are you, Jonas?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, and yeah.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Listen, so you are Finnish. You're from Finland. I went there last year and just absolutely positively loved that country.
Thank you. It's a great country.
Yeah, I flew into Kiruna and then we drove up to Narvik and just it was stunning.
Okay. Well, are those places from Finland or is what?
Or you know, no, Kiruna. We flew. That's in Sweden, and then we drove up to the fjord, which I thought was in Narvik.
You must have been in Sweden and Norway, perhaps.
But oh, my God.
Okay. But if that's
no,
the case,
No. Okay.
Finland is just like these places.
No. I went to Finland, not this past Swedish trip, but the trip before.
Here it goes.
And we loved having you.
Listen, on behalf of the Rebel Empire, we are so sorry.
No, I took a boat into Helsinki.
Right,
And that's what we did.
We went through the
I can't even pronounce it. The Arlipeg, the
archipelago.
Archipelago.
Oh yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey, do you know Kimmo Timonen?
Hey, listen though, we loved Madrid. It was great.
Madrid. Hala Madrid.
And of course, Nigeria is just beautiful.
Yeah,
this
a lot of these places.
What's it like growing up there? Yeah.
So you are Finnish.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yes.
You're playing Chewbacca. That's correct.
Did you in fact
go to Penn State?
Yeah.
Oh, God!
Ohio State was good. No, I was just kidding. I went to Penn State. We are Penn State. And,
yes.
Yeah, it was lovely, good years in 05 and 08 when I was there. Played, graduated with a film degree, played for the basketball team.
Power forward and center?
Center and, semi-power forward.
Okay,
yeah.
Semi-power. So that's very cool, man. So you had a couple of years in here, and you played professional basketball in Finland as well.
Went back to Finland, and then...
Right.
Then,
all your life, reading about you... Massive Star Wars fan, loved it, loved the whole deal, and then just by happenstance, they're looking for a new Chewbacca. You send a video, I believe, or
exactly.
J.J. Abrams sees it.
Yeah,
boom.
Exactly.
And take us from there to Force Awakens. You go in.
Well, Force Awakens. Yeah, I get in, and I'm told I'm going to meet Harrison Ford, my old time hero.
Right.
And I tell him. Listen, Harrison, you know I wasn't even born when you guys made these movies.
He must have loved that.
And he did not love it. And it was really close that I was going to be replaced. Like, they had to find a replacement for the replacement. And no, but we worked together with Peter Mayhew, the original Chewbacca actor, right.
So he was in. Was he in a few scenes, or was he giving you direction? There are scenes in The Force Awakens, Peter Mayhew is not very mobile. And you're Chewbacca's running up ladders and stuff like that, and that couldn't have been him.
Well, we just say that we co-worked on that.
Okay, film. All right.
It was great because he was he created the character. He's a unique physical attributes,
right,
and everything made Chewbacca to be what he is, which is a very creature-like, unworldly character. And that's what I'm trying to do when I'm in this Chewbacca suit. I try to act like a creature and not like as myself, as the Big Ten all defensive person. No, I wasn't that.
But from all your years living in Sweden.
Jonas, what I love about this current Star Wars iteration is that it really seems like people like Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, rest in peace, and Mark Hamill have re-embraced the Star Wars franchise. And I think that for a stretch, maybe they got maybe a little tired of it or strayed from that universe a little bit, and now they're back. And one of the things that I read recently was that Carrie Fisher was supposed to be the focus of the next one, of Episode 9, and unfortunately that won't be the way that it was originally intended to be, obviously. But I love the fact that they've come back around on it, too, you know, that they seem so embraced and happy to be a part of this franchise once again. Did you get that impression when you were working with people like Mark and Carrie and Harrison Ford?
Oh, absolutely. I think even Harrison, even though he doesn't say it, I think he was really happy to be back. And the fact is, the fans of Star Wars have just never let go. And they've been here for 40 years. And they are what kept this, the 501st Garrison, the Rebel Legion.
Yeah.
The fans who dress up as these characters and visit children in hospitals. And that's just, I think, at the core of this franchise, is that there's this hope that we can all challenge the great evil
yes!
and find unity. And that's the best thing about Star Wars for me, and it's never gone. And these legendary actors, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and I think they just they've always loved it deep within them. If they haven't yet. So
well, you're smiling because it's great. It's great storytelling. And listen, Harrison Ford is obviously an accomplished. They all are, but Harrison Ford has a long and storied film career, and you know, movies like Witness that have nothing to do with this. But I sense that, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say begrudgingly, but he realizes, and at times he just really seems to enjoy it, and other times he's like, okay, I got it. Like, it can even overwhelm him because he's Indiana Jones and he's from Blade Runner, he's Decker, so he's got iconic characters that he's associated with. But so when you're there and you're standing next to, Han Solo in those movies, in as Chewbacca carrying on that iconic legacy, are you in your head saying keep it together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just crazy working alongside Harrison Ford, and now working alongside the younger Han Solo, played by Alden Ehrenreich,
yes,
who does a great job in making this character his own and showing us what a genius invention this character was by George. I mean, Han Solo is
he created this character, which Harrison then performed, and it's
this guy, this sort of rogue, you know, and you he has a checkered past, but it also the movie focuses in on one of the great bromances of all time, Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Exactly, and we get to see how that all began, and this is a fun movie and an adventure movie.
Yeah,
which even if you have never seen a Star Wars film, I think people are gonna come out feeling good about it because it's a fun movie full of twists and action.
Did I hear recently that Chewbacca is the word is that he's like a couple hundred years old or something along those lines? Is that what we find out?
Exactly.
Take out your license.
He's very active still. He hasn't let the age define him.
Right? Yes. I assume the Wookiee retirement is what, 500?
Wookiee retirement is about at the 350.
Okay.
Mark.
All right. Yeah. He's still going. Yeah. And you can actually go into, you can have an origin, because there are two tabs running. There's the Star Wars, and then there's the Star Wars story series, and you're in both of those. Working with this crew, with Woody Harrelson and with
Amelia Clarke, Donald Glover.
Yes, all of them. I mean, so they're all, I was watching an interview with Woody Harrelson, who was, so he's obviously much older than you are, but there he is. He's fanboying on the set. What was it like working with him?
Oh, he's just so honest and such a playful personality. I mean, we had so much fun throwing snowballs at each other on top of the mountains in Italy, and just we were having a blast shooting this film.
I can't imagine. Yeah,
I want to ask Jonas how you're directed in this, because clearly Chewbacca has dialogue. We obviously can't understand it, but it's implied and interpreted as to what he says. So, how is that written in your script? Does it say Chewbacca acts surprised, or Chewbacca pretends like there's danger? You know, I mean, how is that written for you on the script?
I think the cast is Larry and Lawrence. I mean, John and Larry, the legendary screenwriter Larry Kasdan.
Kasdan, yeah.
They because I worked with Larry in Force Awakens, and he knew what I bring to the role, and so they were very confident that I could play these beats and play this story.
It's important.
And they wrote even lines for me because they wanted my Wookiee English, which I ended up with, to be very specific. And even though the actors couldn't hear exactly what I said, but the meaning was always there, like, let's go.
Oh, seriously? That's what we were wondering.
Yeah.
So you actually do a little Wookiee impression.
I do, and in fact, I did so well that they had, my voice was still there in the very final moments of the mix until they found that bear sound to replace it. But I'm competing with bears,
yeah,
basically. And
give us your best Wookiee, if you know.
Good.
Damn good.
Peter Mayhew never did that, did
no.
he?
No.
But he didn't have four, he didn't have 31 years of practice.
Right, right. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or something like that, but I literally thought you would just be opening your mouth for a certain amount of time and nothing coming out. So you're actually saying some of the dialogue, and they just obviously change it when they go back and do editing.
Exactly. And the fact is, I'm having a ball. It's like a theater performance for me. Stepping on set, seeing all the, especially on the first days, like the crew is just like seeing me after a long break.
Yeah.
And I'm having a ball with this. To me, I want the visitors on set, like the little kids especially, to hear the authentic Chewbacca or close as it
sure.
can be.
That's got to be wonderful to be able to do, to see a kid, hell, to see a full-grown adult light up at that.
Exactly. And told me the mouth is controlled by my jaw. I open my jaw, and this coil draws up the upper lip to a snarl. So it's all mechanical, and it's a fully functioning nose.
It looks really good, but it's got to be hot as balls when you're outside. I don't care what kind of ventilation system they have in there. Was that something you had to deal with?
Oh, yeah. It's so hot and so sometimes uncomfortable when you got fur balls in your mouth, you got this individual stubborn hair going into your eye.
Yeah.
I need constant help. In fact, some people have said that I'm a diva, but it's just like that suit is very very high maintenance.
Sure.
When we're looking at the photo, those are your eyes, right, that we see?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
So I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm seeing it tonight. I'm seeing Solo tonight. We have a screening of it. But I have seen the trailers, obviously. Does Chewbacca have a girlfriend in this movie?
Well, you're just going to have to go and see.
All right. That's she's slutty. No, no.
Well, Steve, you've talked about his wife, Gladys, right?
Gladys.
Was it Gladys Baca?
I thought it was Gladys Baca. Gladys Baca. We did a bit.
They had a brief thing, but it's over now.
Okay. I'm sure. Yeah. I love, though, that you're getting, because this is, we've always been fascinated by the origin stories of characters that we've known for so long. So you have the beginning, you know, obviously Han was... You know, they're running stuff and smuggling and all that stuff. And from what our video guy, Nick Murphy, got to see the film last week and says, shoot, like, Chewbacca's badass. You know, that you get to see that, and you get to see why a friendship would be forged between these guys.
Exactly.
So you were directed by Ron Howard.
Exactly.
And there was another creative team at the beginning, and they parted ways. So yeah. You must have been like, oh, my God. But then you hear Ron Howard's coming on board.
No, I was always confident. The script, you got to understand, the script by Larry Kasdan and John Kasdan was always great.
Always great, yeah.
And there were some creative differences. But then Ron came on board and just ran with it. And he's been an actor. He's been a director.
And a lifelong friend of George Lucas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he just took this great story about these characters who are interesting, multi-layered, and delivered this fun film for us. And my goal was to always, for this film... And I was excited about it because you get to see this other Chewbacca that you've never seen, like a side of him that you've never seen before.
Love
more
it.
Active, more like the stories that we've heard all these movies ago.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that and see, and to do that with respect to the original trilogy Chewbacca, who's more laid back and more used to the smuggling.
To show the beginnings. So, yeah.
Exactly. And it was very interesting. And I think people liked it at the LA premiere, and I hope they like it when the film opens Thursday.
Well, nice. The reviews are suggesting they are.
We have a screening tonight, and unfortunately, we got to wrap things up. But I wanted to congratulate you on you had a baby this year, you and your fiance.
Yes.
So congratulations on being a parent.
Thank you so much.
Baby Baca, I believe, is what you're calling him.
Baby Baca is right now. He's at the Ritz, staring at the skyline of Philadelphia.
Ah, there you go. He's
loving it.
So, and I understand he was 60 pounds 9 feet, right?
Exactly.
You're 6'10"?
I'm 6'11 and a half. So
okay.
You round that up to 7 feet.
He's a 7 All right. Well, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your success. That's really cool.
Thank you so much.
And they love you in Norway, by the way. Jonas Suotamo from the Star Wars franchise. Chewbacca, love it, man. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
And Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
7 minutes after 10 o'clock, and I do have something to give away. Not at this very moment. But in music news, we'll have that on the way in just a little bit. You'll just have to wait. You wait and see.
All right.
We'll have that for you. All right, so we had Jonas, who was here a second ago, the new Chewbacca from Solo, Star Wars Story. So we skipped out on doing the Bizarre Files. We need to do that now, but we're also going to do the lesson question.
Everything!
And we're going to do the trash and music news and all that stuff. But let's go ahead and get to the Bizarre File right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Create the backyard of your dreams during Sequoia Outback's annual Memorial Day sale on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. Police are looking for whoever is responsible for defecating on the floor of a home under construction 4 times.
Oh, four man. Times?
Since May 6th. And on May 13th, shortly after 8 p.m., surveillance video caught two people illegally entering the home under construction.
One of them a teacher, by any chance?
One of the subjects in the video is believed to have defecated on the floor, the fourth such incident since May 6th.
It's kind of my thing.
Several homes in the subdivision have sold for over $1 million, so it's a nice neighborhood. And they're asking anyone who has information on the identities of these in the video to contact the police.
I think I'd feel more comfortable pooping in a more affordable home.
Yeah, right?
I'd get poop shy if it was $1 million.
Yeah, it's a bit much. After a Virginia man was reported missing, then found hours later on the side of the road, he told police that he was kidnapped, drugged, and held against his will by members of a motorcycle gang. The FBI says that he actually fabricated that story and several others so that he could disappear and start a new life with his mistress.
With his mistress.
He basically wanted to get away from the wife, so he said that he was kidnapped by a motorcycle gang. Yeah. Larry Wayne Price was arrested last week, and he's being charged with lying to federal authorities. He's actually being held on $500,000 bond. Ooh. Prosecutors said that after Price's wife reported him missing April 14th, police in his hometown of Bluefield and the county sheriff's office launched a massive search that included the use of state police helicopters and dogs.
Yeah, he didn't know they were going to do that.
Price was located that night by a driver who noticed him on the side of the road near Grattan, Virginia.
The master plan crumbled within like 48 hours?
Yeah, when Price was taken to a hospital, he told police he was kidnapped by two strangers, drugged, and held against his will. He said that he was taken to a business that he owns, the Hog Pit. It's Hog Pit Cycles in West Virginia, where he said that his keys were taken and the store's safe was robbed. He also said that the men pointed a gun at him and stole his pocket knife and a 9mm handgun. But they had security footage, so he may have forgotten about that.
It's his own business.
Yep, and they found no indication that the shop had been disturbed and no sign of the robbery or the white van that he had described to police. When the FBI interviewed Price, he changed his story and said he was kidnapped by members of a motorcycle gang. He also told authorities that he thought he may have been kidnapped because he owed some money.
Then he changed it again. An invisible motorcycle gang.
When asked to whom he owed the money, Price said, "Maybe I should plead the fifth." And said he thought it best to say that he just made it all up and he needed to clear his head, and said that he disappeared on his own.
Okay.
Agents discovered he contacted a woman the day he was reported missing, and she eventually told authorities that she and Price had discussed wanting to disappear.
Oh, he's just an idiot.
She said... don't listen to him.
Oh, he's just a moron.
He thinks
we're in love.
She said they decided to move into a house near the father's home to start a new life together. But apparently that didn't work out. This is messed up, man. A clown and his yodeling sidekick.
Yes.
Stars of the reality TV show Belgium's Got Talent have been arrested for the brutal murder of a mother of three in front of her children.
Jesus.
After a rooftop standoff with armed police, which was broadcast live on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
So they were broadcasting it live on Facebook, or a spectator was?
I'm not sure exactly. So Kevin LaPierre, a winner of a prize for the best clown in the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg, entertained hundreds of sick children in the guise of his alter ego called Dr. Aspirin.
Dr. Aspirin.
But it's claimed the 31-year-old was unable to get on with the three teenage children of his 47-year-old girlfriend named Caroline, leading to their breakup a few days ago. Now, LaPierre roped in a guy named Dietwin Hegeman, who he manages and appears in LaPierre's show as Clown Toby, to take revenge. Hegeman is better known in Belgium as Dietwin the Yodeler, a lederhosen-clad performer who has released some ski-themed yodeling pop singles in Dutch, and who, like LaPierre, appeared on Belgium's Got Talent.
I know there is a brutal murder associated with this, but I'm going to have to laugh at many points during the story.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's a bit ridiculous. So the pair alleged to have broken into the home of the family, tying up the 12, 15, and 17-year-old children who... they said terrorized. They were terrorized through the night before killing their mother in front of them with a knife. Yeah, this gets really, really dark.
The yodeler or the clown did the killing?
I think the clown did. LaPierre, who waited until Belgium's Mother's Day to launch his attack, reportedly told the terrified children, "I am no longer a clinic clown, but a criminal clown, and that's how I will become famous. I am a monster, and I know that." And he apparently called the children's school, to say the kids would be late on Monday. The victim's body was found in the garbage by emergency services on Monday. The children released from their binds by police in a room on the upper floor. Now, on Monday, LaPierre stood on top of a 13-story apartment building waving a pistol. He was broadcasting on Facebook Live, so he did it.
Oh, man.
As he threw a gas canister from the roof, police snipers were deployed and a local high school put on lockdown as he began firing the gun. Footage appeared to show him enjoying the attention. He would put the gun on the floor, wave his arms as if surrendering, then pick up the pistol again and fire it. He surrendered after several hours. His alleged accomplice, Hagman, commented on Facebook that he couldn't believe what he was seeing on social media before he, too, was arrested by police. How messed up is that story?
I remember when I was a kid and my dad sat us down and told us he was no longer a clinic clown.
Yeah, now a criminal clown.
And it crushed us.
All right, we'll move on to something a little lighter.
Yes, though that, in a way, had its moments.
Yes, police are searching...
I hate to say it, but I'm sorry, a yodeler and a clown.
Police are searching for a woman who used bear mace on several employees at a South Seattle pizza restaurant.
When will this insanity stop?
Surveillance video released Thursday showed the woman leaving the shop after an extended conversation with staff. Then she re-entered the store minutes later and sprayed five employees with bear mace.
Any one of them a bear?
No.
That's just wrong then.
The pizza shop closed the restaurant to throw out all the food.
Hey, Lou, I'm leaving a little early today, picking up the kids.
Due to the amount of bear mace that was sprayed. Now, police say that another woman entered the restaurant 4 days later, carrying bear mace and threatening employees.
I wonder, so, okay, regular human mace, we would assume that bear mace is more powerful.
It also projects farther.
Yes, yeah. It's like a bear actually taking a piss.
Right.
Yeah.
She was arrested later that day for witness intimidation. The second woman but police are still searching for the other woman. Two totally different women with bear mace and their issue with this pizza joint.
Was it Bear Mace Tuesdays?
I don't know. Maybe it was. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the bizarre file. Lesson question. That's what's up next. And today we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see comedian Joel McHale.
Hey.
I love Joel. He's great. And that's from Parks and Rec and the new Joel McHale show on Netflix. So the question that I have for you, and by the way, he's playing June 1st at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino. Question I have for you today, at the MMRBQ, where did Bill Weston watch the band Ghost? 215-263-WMMR. At the MMRBQ, where did Bill Weston watch the band Ghost? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, and we are going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Overcoming addiction is hard. Getting into treatment shouldn't be. Meet the different approach to addiction treatment at Center, the number 4, healing.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Beyonce has purchased a 110-year-old New Orleans church for $900,000. Beyonce says she finally made the purchase to provide her fans a proper place to worship her.
Oh, my God.
Manhattanite Jocelyn Wildenstein, who was nicknamed Catwoman because excessive plastic surgery makes her look feline, is claiming she's broke. Wildenstein says she's so destitute, she can't even afford the litter that clumps. So.
Oh, my God.
And finally, TMZ confirming that rapper Trippie Redd, that he would kick it with Lil Tay, but thinks Tekashi 69 needs to get woke. Redd then drove away in a chauffeur driven by a Bentley driven by a chauffeur, and leaving us all to ponder the most painless way to commit suicide.
Right.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Okay. That was interesting, that first part. I'm like, this is...
It's so true.
What language is this in?
Are you familiar with Lil Tay? Nine-year-old rapper?
No.
You got to check this out.
I got to get woke.
Yeah. You got to get woke.
Yeah. All right.
Trippie Redd thinks we should all get woke.
Let's see if we can get an answer to this question at MMRBQ. Where did Bill Weston watch the band Ghost? And I will go to Greg and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, jabronis?
Yeah, bud. Great word. Where did Bill watch the band Ghost?
Kathy's shoulders.
Yeah, he was on Kathy's shoulders. Hang on, Greg. I'll take care of you, give you some tickets to see Joel McHale from the TV show Parks and Rec and the new Joel McHale show on Netflix, one night only, Friday, June 1st at 8 p.m. at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino. And it's parkscasino.com for the tickets. You have to be at least 21 years of age. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yes, Casey.
Well, not that it really matters, but there needs to be a correction on that. He wasn't in Parks and Rec. He was in Community, and I think somebody who was writing that copy made that mistake. So. Right.
It's unfortunately possible. I didn't watch either show, so I wouldn't have known that off the top of my head. But thank you for your correction, sir. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Throw it on the pile of other crap that I've gotten wrong today.
I have to ask you, did you go to Finland at all on that last trip?
No. No, it was the time before.
Okay.
But you've been to Finland.
I thought you flew in Finland.
We flew from Sweden to Finnish airspace.
Okay.
And then we turned around and came back.
Because I really enjoyed the story when you came back and told us about your vacation last year.
We flew over the archipelago. This is for, if you're just tuning in. This is from Jonas, who plays Jonas Suotamo, who plays Chewbacca in the new Star Wars film. But anyway, yeah, we took a private plane. My wife's uncle has a small aircraft, and we flew it over the archipelago, and we flew into Finnish airspace, and then we came around and flew. And I did the flying. Yeah. I flew back. But I got that confused with when we took the... We took a drive.
Well, we went to a spring training.
Into Norway. And so I got it wrong.
Preston?
What are you going to do?
I, over the weekend, thought that there was a slight possibility that maybe the royal family danced out of the West.
Yeah, right. Okay. You're right.
So do you feel a little bit better about yourself?
No, okay. It was a dumb mistake, and I was thinking of it the entire time that we were talking to him.
What the hell is this guy talking about?
What are you going to do?
Did you hear what he said?
He thought it was funny.
When you still had your, I think you still had your headphones on. As soon as the interview ended and we were going to a commercial, he said, that was just about the greatest interview I've ever been a part of.
Oh, really?
And he was serious when he said it. So there you go.
Okay. Music news time.
There you go.
Brought to you by A.D. Moyer. Trex is engineering. What's next in outdoor living? Visit your Trex experts at A.D. Moyer Lumber and see how Trex can enhance your outdoor oasis, admoyer.com. We'll start with this. Chris Cornell, his widow Vicky and his children Lily, Tony, and Christopher, plus his bandmates Matt Cameron, Tom Morello, and Elaine Johannes, had returned to his grave at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery on Friday for a vigil to mark the one-year anniversary of Cornell's death. Chester Bennington's widow, Talinda, and Johnny Ramone's widow, Linda, were also in attendance, along with other friends and a number of fans. Vicky Cornell announced the vigil via social media last week, stating, "All of us who love Chris know how special he was and how much he gave to all of us. Your love for him, your sympathy and support for us has carried us through these 12 months. We welcome all to join us in remembrance. Fans who could not make it, we're encouraged to share their memories of the vocalist via posts and videos." Meanwhile, Matt Cameron paid tribute to his fallen bandmate on Instagram, writing, "Can't believe it's already been 1 year since I lost my musical soulmate and special friend, Chris Cornell. Chris always led by example, his work ethic, his sense of humor, his love of animals, his love of the Cascades, his love of family. Bands are nearly impossible to get right, but Soundgarden felt incredibly fierce and so right for me on day one, mid-February 1986. I will forever praise him for the decades of encouragement he gave me and for the fierce friendship that we forged. I love you, buddy." So obviously it was a very sad occasion.
Yeah. On the weekend. Yeah. Did anyone at the barbecue mention? Or
no, I didn't hear anything on stage. No. Greta Van Fleet is reassuring fans that the group's first full-length album will be out this year with a late summer release in the works. A guitarist, Jake Kiska, told Loudwire, "We're in the mixing process, so it's going to be quite soon. We're wrapping it up, so we're hoping to release that absolutely this year." Bassist Sam Kiska added that we had all these songs we wrote 3 to 5 years ago that we were just going to put on the album. It very quickly became all new material. So I'd say about 3/4 of the songs are songs that we wrote in the studio. It just happened very quickly, and we got everything done in 2 weeks. So that will be coming out.
What a happy and Biff Kiska say.
I don't know.
Look at this picture. Look at how effing young they are.
Bunch of 12-year-olds.
One of them's 18, by the way. So they're young.
Yeah.
And
what a sound.
They sound awesome. Korn frontman Jonathan Davis, of course, just after the performance of the MMRBQ, is now taking a number of his fans through a sensory deprivation experiment employed to test ESP abilities known as the Ganzfeld experiment.
The Ganzfeld experiment, of course.
Yeah, Davis recently spoke about the experiment, saying that's something that's been going on for a long time. If you deprive yourself of visual and audible stimuli, you'll start to hallucinate. You cut a ping pong ball in half and put those white globes over your eyes and you listen to white noise. After 20 minutes, you start to hallucinate. Yeah. He said every experience is different, but the brain can't handle not hearing or seeing anything. Davis said, "I'm doing these pop-up things where I grab a couple of kids and pull them through the experience. It's just, it's the whole thing. It's meant to be entertaining and not to be taken overly serious."
Yeah.
But he said, "But it's really a really dope concept. I wanted something different and to be more immersive, and I think I've pretty much pulled that off now."
I think I would love to try that, but I couldn't even be a little bit tired because then I would just fall asleep.
I've fallen asleep during the sensory deprivation tanks.
Okay.
The halcyon. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, halcyon floats. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said, if you'd like to get a chance to participate with Davis, you'll have to submit proof that you pre-ordered his new album, a solo album, Black Labyrinth, which arrives on Friday, by the way. And then they're going to choose people at random at some of these shows, which is cool. I really liked his show. I thought
you were blown away.
I thought he was great at the MMRBQ. And I'm not a fan of that whole thing. And I only saw one part of it that was that way. And he even goes right before he's like, all right, get ready for it. And all of a sudden, and it fit. It went in. But for the most part, he sang, which is appreciative. And his band was incredible.
Did they do any Korn music or was it all solo stuff?
All solo stuff.
That's what I thought.
Yep. And we'll touch on the royal wedding just a little bit. As expected, Elton John performed a mini set at the wedding reception of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Elton, along with husband David Furnish, had attended the earlier ceremony in the historic Windsor Castle and played a four-song mini set for the newlyweds at the private reception. The Daily Mail reported, after addressing the 600 guests, Prince Harry declared, "Does anyone here know how to play the piano?" Elton then sat by the piano and performed four songs. He played Your Song, Circle of Life, I'm Still Standing, and Tiny Dancer. And the latter song features the lyric L.A. Lady, which was a bit of a nod to Markle's acting career.
That's very cool.
That must have been really awesome.
A lot of celebs, you know, in attendance.
I was wondering why some of them were there.
Well, some of them are actually friends with the royal family. And Bane was there. Did you see...
Tom Hardy?
Yeah, he was there.
No kidding.
He was there, man. And completely shaved head. For a role, obviously, something's coming up.
Okay. And then finally, MMR is excited about this. Just let slip just a little bit while we were backstage at the MMRBQ. The record company is coming to the Fillmore, Philadelphia, Saturday, October 20th. And tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. There's a pre-sale that starts on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Through Thursday at 10 p.m. while supplies last. And I got a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Let's take caller number 18, 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with that. They're a great band, nice guys.
Yes.
And they love this area. And a couple of them are from the area, which is cool. All right, at least I know the bass player is from Ardmore.
From Wayne?
Yeah, and he went to Bucknell.
Oh, okay. Went to Bucknell.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take caller 18, and we will set you up with those tickets. All right, and there you go. So we got music news. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap thing up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize, tell you all about that and get you your first letter for that. We'll be back in a moment.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
From Lima 93.3, WMMR, Preston and Steve radio show at 10:36 a.m. on this Monday morning, coming to a close for us, but as this chapter ends, another one begins. Pierre Robert will be in momentarily to take you through the rest of this absolutely stunningly beautiful Monday afternoon. And we're looking at 80 degrees and sunshine and breezy. Tomorrow, maybe some thunder showers. We'll see how that goes. Not going to be an all-day pour fest, but we will have some rain passing through the area. High 73. And here's how the rest of the week shapes up. Partly cloudy Wednesday, high 80. Thursday, sunny, high 83. And then Friday, sunshine at 86 degrees. We'll be down the shore at Keenan's Irish Pub. Uh-huh. And Pierre will be there. Jackson's there at different locations. I'll get the full rundown in a second here in case you want to try to make all of those events. But the weather's going to be great.
And as you say, it's always 10 degrees cooler.
Yep.
I'm going to bring, I think we're all bringing our surf casting rods. I know that.
Good. I'd love to do that, actually, man. Sit on the beach.
Yeah.
Throw a line out there. Have a beer and just relax, man. Ooh. Doesn't that sound good?
It do.
So there's three live broadcasts. We'll be at Keenan's along with Coors Light. Pierre's going to be at Margaritaville in AC from 10 to 3. And then Jackson pops back down to North Wildwood. He'll be at the Inlet on Old from 3 to 7. And Victory Brewing Company is going to be on board for that. So it's going to be great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
It's awesome. And we need it. Well, listen. The weather did not hamper the enjoyment of the barbecue at all. It was, you know, it's something that we're just used to. But I think we're out a really good Keenan's Day, Memorial Day weekend. It looks like we're getting it.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks to our guest, Robert Irvine.
Yay!
An early visit today, and Robert is at the Beats and Eats event tonight, Food and Music Festival at the Fillmore, Philadelphia. There may be a ticket or two left. I don't know. Go to WMMR.com. Click on events, and you can get 20% off of the price for tonight. But he said there were only like 10 tickets left when he came by this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
But he puts on a good party, man.
Sure does.
A lot of great food.
You'll eat your... You eat your hemorrhage.
Music and all kinds of stuff. Thank you to, from Champions of Magic, we had Fernando Velasco.
Hey!
That event is June 20th through the 24th at the Miriam Theater. Get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. We also had Jonas, who was here. Jonas Suotamo, who plays Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And he's done it in the last couple of Star Wars films and continues. This is, it's his role now. And he's in Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is in theaters on Friday. And we have a screening of that tonight. Gave away all the passes, so those are gone. But he was a super nice guy.
He was.
And he actually enjoyed the the way I screwed up the interview. So that was cool. And you know what? Thanks to Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer.
Brewer called in unannounced, pretended to be Lars Ulrich from Metallica, because he's actually going to be a part of that Metallica show with MMR's 50th finale concert, which is going to be Thursday, October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets go on sale Friday, by the way. And the way he explained it to us, he's not really opening the show per se. He's not going to be on stage doing a stand-up routine. He's not going to be on stage with his band playing. He's going to be in and around everywhere in the venue, from the parking lot to the nosebleed seats to different sections. And he's doing like this roving game show, and he's going to be giving away special experiential prizes for you to maybe go backstage or to be on stage or to meet the band or to get, you know, if you're in the nosebleeds, maybe get down to the pit or front row tickets or whatever happens to be right down there.
So, you know, when they have in arena stuff, you know, like you guys and Kathy, you did,
yep,
you know, games, whatever. So he's going to be doing that, but he's going to be doing that based on Metallica with a chance to get up on the Metallica stage. And all sorts of other stuff. I mean, it's really cool. And the way they described it, or where he was describing it, they basically have given him carte blanche.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants to do.
So it's called the Jim Brewer pre-lighted up party.
Yeah.
So Jim got in touch with us this morning and told us all about that. So that was cool. Hey, I'd like to congratulate one of our interns, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Graduated over the weekend.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? Where does Kathleen, where did she go to school? Can she tell you? Is it Temple or?
Finland.
She went to Finland High.
Stalin High?
Finland. Where'd you go?
LaSalle.
By the way, she was at the RBQ helping Rodney and Bowder with all, you know, engineering. She's a major asset to the station.
She's an engineering gal. She came out to Camp Out for Hunger and ran a bunch of stuff. So congratulations to Kathleen and everybody else who's graduating this time here. It's a huge accomplishment. Very cool. We need to do the letter of the day. Let me eject this thing right here that I don't need, and we'll hit this button, and here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
B, as in beach.
All right, we will give away a 20-pack of tickets to Strike Force Laser Tag, good for 1 hour at their facility in Westchester. It's another brainchild of the Bates folks who brought you Bates Escape Room.
Pew, pew.
And the Bates Motel. Strike Force Laser Tag is an intense, unique, indoor, tactical laser tag arena that's different than anything you've ever played before. Visit them at 540 East Union Street in Westchester or StrikeForceLaserTag.com. Take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Skull Shaver. Say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. And the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Center, the number 4, healing.com. As of tomorrow, we got Tattoos Day. Listeners coming in, get some free ink. And we'll see what else we can get into. Don't forget Truman High School in Levittown, PA. It's up for you to vote for the coolest teacher. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. Tomorrow morning we'll find out who the winner is. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Why is every driver a f***ing asshole? There are no exceptions. I know they feel the same way about me. Why is every person who drives and gets into a car turns into a f***ing asshole? Why is every driver a f***ing asshole?
Next message.
Here's a big shout out to Stelco's own Sammy O, Sammy Orpiza, the best MMA fighter come out of Delco. Let's do this, brother.
We're all behind you.
Next message.
Yeah, it's just for that little white pickup truck. It cut me off, fool. Hey, earn some manners. Let the 18-wheeler get through. Yeah.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.